little bit of a slow start. And in a lot of ways, the Panthers are lucky that they're only down by 1 point at the half.
Yeah, I would agree there, Charlie. In fact, that's the exact words that my partner said as we sent it to you for the start of the halftime. Last week, didn't feel comfortable up 19 at half. Today, you're happy to be down one at half at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, there was just could never feel like that they got could get settled in the first half. Did put together a couple nice scoring drives. There were some miscues and some communication issues, I think particularly with the officiating crew. And there's just a few things that bounce Walsh's way. I mean, you got to give credit to Walsh. I mean, they look really good moving the ball with this new spread offense under Coach Karras, and seem to be clicking on all cylinders with that, and kind of got Ohio Dominican back on its heels defensively, moving the ball real quickly, no huddle, and just up-tempo, and that's something that they probably discussed in the locker room and trying to make the adjustment here at halftime.
All right, let's give you some of the numbers at halftime right now. Oh, by the way, a moment ago we had an absolute driving rain. We've had a little momentary reprieve, and then we've got a monsoon coming. So the second half also could be extremely interesting. Total offense in the first half, Ohio Dominican 50 plays for 296 yards. And for the Panthers, ground attack, 29 carries, 112 yards. Mark Nichols leading the way with 13 carries for 73. Brandon Schoen with 11 carries for 37. Through the air, Mark Miller is 16 out of 20 passing for 184 yards. And a touchdown. Ronald McLeod with 7 catches for 69. Dez Stewart, 4 catches for 42. Brandon Schoen has 2 catches for 72. That one of those was a 60-yarder, but it ended up being points erased from the scoreboard. For Walsh, 39 plays, just 168 yards of total offense. 17 rushes for 65 yards in the first half. Paul Kemp, their quarterback, 10 carries for 44. Kemp is 13 out of 22 passing for 103 yards and a touchdown. Darryl Gary is their leading receiver with 3 catches for 40. One glaring number that is jumping out at me on this stat sheet, we'll talk about it in a few moments because we're about to go back to the studios, but the Panthers, who are 48% on third down this year, just 2 of 10 in the first half on third down, something they've got to brush up on, and I'm sure that was an interesting locker room at halftime. 14-13, Cavs have the lead. Second half kickoff is coming up in which Ohio Dominican will be receiving. We go back to the studios and Charlie Danis.
Thank you very much, Todd. We'll take a quick commercial break, and then after that, we will head back out to Fossa Stadium for the second half of tonight's game between the Panthers of Ohio Dominican and the Cavaliers of Walsh. Right now, Ohio Dominican trailing Walsh 14-13 at the half. We'll be back with more in a moment. You're listening to the Ohio Dominican football here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Ohio Dominican University prepares you for a fulfilling career. ODU is ranked highly among Ohio's colleges in a recent survey that measured lifetime return on investment. Ohio Dominican is Central Ohio's only comprehensive Catholic Dominican University and offers more than 50 majors and graduate programs, including exercise science, sport management, and more. Through ODU's Evening Degree Accelerated Program, you can advance your career by attending class just one night a week. Apply today at ohiodominican.edu.
At Sunbury Road Dairy Queen, we value our customers as well as our neighbors. In addition to being proud supporters of Panther Athletics, we host car washes for youth football, initiated an attendance incentive for Mifflin Middle School, and began a summer work internship with a local community house. Stop by for a blizzard treat at Dairy Queen on Sunbury Road, just north of Ohio Dominican University. Remember, it's not fast food, it's fan food.
More action from Fawcett Stadium is coming your way as the Panthers look to rally and nail down a win against the Walsh Cavaliers. Let's now send it back out to Todd Bell and Matt Natale for the start of the second half.
All right, Charlie, thank you very much. Second half about ready to get underway here at Fawcett Stadium. Again, right now it is just a very, very light rain, if anything, but there is some heavy, heavy rain that is just to our southwest. And it's not going to miss, I don't think. Some of this down here might, as I get to play meteorology over the radio. I got a little telestrator here, and I got a green screen behind me. But anyways.
Our chief meteorologist, Todd Bell.
Could be an interesting second half, and this opening possession could go a long way because, again, I'm sure a fire was lit in that locker room at halftime. You've done a lot of good things. You have almost 300 yards of total offense. You're on pace for 600 yards here tonight. One touchdown and two field goals.
And I'll tell you, that's where it really, where you can really see how big those special teams and defensive scores that we've gotten in the first few weeks have really come into play and really helped us out on the scoreboard. And we haven't had that yet tonight. That while both have played very well, we've had done well on special teams and defense. They just haven't put any points on the board. And, you know, we saw a lot of that last week, particularly with a kick return and a punt return for touchdowns. And, you know, now it's the offense's turn to kind of step it up and get those points on the board.
And they've been kicking the kickoffs along the ground away from Mark Nichols. So that has been effective tonight. They will do that again, and now it's going to be an extremely wet football as Nichols will pick it up at the 15-yard line. 25, 30, 35, cuts back to the 40. He's to midfield. He's high-stepping it to the far sideline. He's to the 35, cuts back at the 30. He's now back to the 20-yard line, ran out of gas, and he's down to the 16-yard line. And that'll be a big tone setter to start half number two. Great return by Mark Nichols, who came in 10th in the conference, averaging 23 yards a kick return, had a long of 32, and that one will set the Panthers up on the doorstop as he goes 70 yards.
There's that special teams, Todd. He looked like he was about to break it for the end zone. Did a little switch the hands with the ball, trying not to get it stripped, and we'll take it here at the 15-yard line, see if we can get some early points on the board in this second half.
All right, first down and 10 now for Ohio Dominican in the all-white look tonight. Brandon Schoen will open up behind Miller here on first down. Gets the carry up the middle. He's down to the 12-yard line. Slow first half for Brandon Schoen. 11 carries for 37 yards and put the ball on the carpet for only the second time in his brief career. He did it last year against Walsh. He does it here tonight against Walsh, although tonight's a little on the suspect side.
Mm-hmm.
Second down and 7. Football at the 12-yard line of Walsh. Wideouts, two to the left, one to the right. Miller gives to Schoen again, straight up the middle, but they undercut him right at the line of scrimmage, and he falls forward for a yard. Give credit where credit is due. The Walsh defensive line has done a nice job tonight, for the most part, slowing down. Again, the Panthers still had 112 yards rushing in the first half, but it seems like they haven't been able to just really get on any kind of a rhythm tonight running the football.
It seems like the Panthers have been successful left to right, but trying to get it right up the middle, they've struggled a little bit.
So it'll be third down and 6 from the 12-yard line. Two receivers right, one to the left here. Mark Nichols back into the backfield. Miller takes it, going to run a fade back left side, and Dez Stewart had it knocked away and incomplete. And, boy, again, we see a lot of contact both ways down in the corner of the end zone. Now the Cavalier defender is down, and they will tend to him. And it's going to be fourth down now and 6 for the Panthers. And, boy, this is a kicking situation, and the field goal unit will come onto the field. You had mentioned it early in the game. You liked the way the officials were letting them play down around the goal line. But on that play, there was a lot of contact again. Dez Stewart almost made one of those highlight reel catches again.
Yeah, the ones that we've seen so far this year that have made their cases for SportsCenter top 10, top plays. And as the Walsh staff tends to the injured player on the field. Speaking of which, Todd, I was speaking with Sports Information Director Scott Miles at halftime, and he was, of course, down there on the field chatting with Coach Conley before the half. Got an update on DeAndre Harrison, dislocated elbow.
Okay. And we thought that might have been what the injury was. It was definitely something with a left arm. DeAndre was injured early in the first quarter and was taken to the nearby Timken Hospital. Pierre Robinson, or Pierre Raymond was the injured Cavalier, and he will hobble off the field under his own power and taking his good old time doing it. And now Brent Wally is going to line up for what would be his third field goal of the night. If he makes it, he's already missed one. So they still wait for Raymond to get off. This would give Ohio Dominican the lead. It would be a disappointing 3 points after the 70-yard kick return by Mark Nichols to give them the ball at the 15, and then unable to get a first down. But they'll try it here from the left hash mark. Wally set. Snyder will take the snap, put it down. Kick is on the way, and it is good. So Brent Wally ties his career best with his third field goal of the night. He is now connected on 45, 36, and 29 on that one. And the Panthers lead 16-14 on the field goal by Brent Wally. It is points, a minute and 27 into our third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get points, we'll take it. But, you know, it was a little bit of a disappointment. There was a lot of momentum coming out of the half with Mark Nichols and that tremendous return. And it was almost a little deflating. They just went three shots and didn't get much out of it. And, I mean, we'll take the points and take the lead. But, you know, in a game like this, you're going to need to score touchdowns.
So Walsh will get the football for the first time in the second half. This is a team that is 1-3 with a win against Northwood coming in week two after an opening season loss to Edinburgh at home. And then last week they were handled by Ferris State. And the Panthers coming in, struggling to get touchdowns. But now lead 16-14 for the first time tonight as Wally's kick is away. And Christensen will take it at the goal line on the right side up the numbers. 20 to the sideline and out of bounds near the 25-yard line. And that is where Paul Kemp and the Cavalier offense will come onto the field for the first time here in the second half. Kemp 13 out of 22 for 103 yards in the first half of play. They're averaging 273 yards a game passing. So Kemp, a relatively quiet first half. They have officially spotted the ball at the 27-yard line, first and 10 Cavaliers.
It'll be interesting to see what they do here on offense. They lined up in the spread right now, but with the rain coming down and the wet ball, it'll be interesting to see how they throw it around.
First down, and they'll hand it off to Smith. No, quarterback ends up keeping on that zone read, and this time Warren Shields is right there for the stop. Sophomore linebacker out of North Union, Ohio, coming in, leading the team in, second of the team in tackles, at just under 9 per game, makes a good stop there for no gain. And it'll be second down and 10 now for Walsh. Kemp takes the shotgun snap. We'll dump it off to Smith on a screen. 25-30 near side, ahead to the 35 and banged out at the 36, about a yard shy of the first down marker. Again, effective using the running backs out of the backfield. They combined in the first half for six catches. That's their seventh of the night between the two of them, Smith and Keith. Now on third and one, they hand it off, and Paul Wesselhoff meets Steve Smith right at the line of scrimmage. They'll lose a yard, and the Panther defense comes up with a big stop on third down and short.
Yeah, that was a huge play there by the redshirt freshman, 6'4". His name tonight, needed to get that so that we could end up getting some good field position off of this subsequent punt. Maybe try to get in the end zone this time instead of settling for another field goal. But nice job by the defensive line on that series and stopping the run and getting the ball back in the offense's hands.
Tim Carter averaged 44 yards a kick in the first half. Will sky one away from Justin Bell. It'll land at the 30-yard line, takes another good Walsh bounce, and will go all the way to the 20-yard line, maybe just inside the 20, about 45 yards on that punt for Carter. And the Ohio Dominican offense will take over first down and 10, leading by a score of 16 to 14. Todd Bell, Matt Natale with you here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. WVSG AM 820 in Columbus. We are at Hall of Fame Field at Fawcett Stadium. Just behind the visitor stands, the newly renovated Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it'll be first down and 10 now for Ohio Dominican, and Mark Nichols with the carry, and he's going to be stood up again right at the line of scrimmage. And back to your point a moment ago, up the middle has been tough sledding tonight for Ohio Dominican.
Yeah, between the tackles, there's just nothing going, and they've been successful going out more so to the right than the left, but certainly low rate of success going up the middle.
Second down play coming up here, second and 9. They will stack a trio of receivers to the near side. Miller will throw it to the far side, and a catch by Stewart, but then immediately tackled at the 25-yard line. So a very short gain for Des Stewart, making his fifth catch of the night. It'll be third down and 5 coming up for ODU.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a deception look that the Panthers are trying to run. They stack 3 receivers on the near side, trying to get the defense to make a shift over there, and then they throw out to the far side, but Walsh was right on it and sniffed it right out.
Well, after they set the ball down, it's 3rd and 3, and they'll play fake to Nichols. Miller rolling to the near side. Nobody's open. He throws to Stewart. It's incomplete. That one was deflected by Jamaris Brown, the cornerback. Boy, when you look downfield, when Mark was rolling out, there was nothing there for him to throw to, and Brown was able to step in there, knock it away from Stewart, and a 3-and-out for Ohio Dominican. So 2 possessions, no first downs here in the second half. And so Mikey Snyder will be out to punt. 2 kicks for an average of 30 in the first half. One of those was pinned inside the 20-yard line. And back to receive is Pat White. Good snap back. Cavs were kind of coming that time.
Yeah.
Snyder, a low line drive kick that'll bounce at the 45, kind of take a sideways roll, and will be knocked down by Billy Akins at the 42-yard line. So change of possession, 10:29 to play here in the third quarter. Panthers lead 16-14 on a 29-yard field goal by Brent Wally on the opening possession of the third quarter. And now Walsh will come back out here in what will likely be the last possession with little rain falling. It's coming.
It's coming in strong. Got some reds and yellows and oranges in that radar, too.
It gets
kind of ugly.
Yeah. It's pretty in one vein, but very ugly in another.
I'm glad we're not on top of the press box of Panther Field right now. I'll tell you that much.
First down and 10. Cavaliers in the all-maroon look tonight. We'll be going right to left, and Paul Kemp out of the shotgun. Going to take the snap on 1st and 10 from the 43. He looks right, throws that way, and it is incomplete and almost intercepted.
Yeah.
Boy, that went right through the hands of the intended receiver, Brody Tan, and I think Akins almost had a pick there. It'll be 2nd. Here's the other bad news. If that rain ends up coming down hard and sideways, it's going to get on our windows, and we're not going to be able to see the rest of the game. 2nd down here. 2 receivers right, 3 to the left for Kemp. He's going to look right again, throws that way, and a catch, and Tan's got it this time, but immediately was leveled by Billy Akin. They'll spot it at the 46-yard line, gain of 3. It'll be 3rd down and 7.
So we see Walsh come out with their first series in the second half, and they do nothing but run the ball, and here we've seen 2 straight throws. I kind of had a feeling this was going to go this way with this series. They were kind of setting up that pass with the run and trying to test out the Panthers' defense.
Panthers have 3 down linemen here on 3rd down and 7. They're going to drop 8 here in coverage. Kemp looking over the Panther defense. He'll take the shotgun snap. He's got a quarterback draw up into the hole. He's to the 50. He's going to continue moving sideways. He's got the first down. Got a huge block downfield and out of bounds at the 32-yard line. And we've got a Panther down. The hit was made by Jeremy Willison. And I'm not sure who it was on, but he is slow in getting up. My initial guess is Daytwan Harris, but we'll wait and see. Boy, that was one of those blind side crackback blocks.
Mm-hmm.
It was clean.
Yep.
But that's just one of those football plays. And the second Panther of the night is down. All right, what a great run by Paul Kemp.
Yeah.
Boy, he looked at it. It was a 3 down lineman. Panther dropped back 8. He had a lot of running room.
Yeah, that was it was a run that initially looked like it wasn't going to go anywhere, and then the offense adjusted and got some blocks downfield. I think on that run, it looked like he ran about 50 yards, and it was Daytwan Harris. He hops up, and he's kind of jogging off the field, so he'll come out for a play or two.
So it'll be 1st down for Walsh. Harris, after he gathers himself, like you said, able to jog off the field here a little bit. 1st and 10 for the Cavaliers with 9:41 to go in the third quarter. So a long ways to go in this one. And Walsh will have it. 1st down and 10 now at the Ohio Dominican 33-yard line. 3 receivers right, 2 to the left. So an empty backfield here for junior quarterback Paul Kemp, who was a wide receiver on this team a year ago. He did play quarterback at Ursuline in high school.
Mm-hmm.
1st down and 10. And he'll take it, fake pump right. Now he's going to throw a deep ball, double coverage by the Panthers, and it's going to be incomplete. Boy, that was nearly misjudged. I think Gerald Robinson was the intended receiver, and Dwayne Clemens, who's filling the void by Datuan Harris, thought he had a pick, and it ended up over his head.
Yeah, he went up for it. It was almost like a jump ball, that game you play when you're a kid, 500. It was kind of reminiscent of that, but he tried to made the best effort he could to try to get that picked off.
So it'll be second down and 10 now from the 33-yard line, 9:15 left. Panthers lead 16-14. Kemp takes it. He'll hand it off. Smith sweeping to his left, but there's nothing there. A bunch of Panthers are there. Anthony Smith is on the top of the pile, and that is Paul Wesselhoff on the bottom of the pile. Redshirt freshman out of Logan. That'll be a tackle of loss for 2 yards. It'll be third and 12 now for Walsh.
Yeah, big down right here, especially after that big run to get that first down by Kemp on third down.
They are 4 for 9 on third down conversions today. They average 45% on the year. So big third down play coming up. They're still looking to the sidelines for the play. Play clock is at 10. Third down and 12. They need to get to the 23-yard line for a first down. Play clock at 4. Kemp now will take the snap with 1. Quarterback draw again. 35. Cuts to the left to the 30. And Justin Bell will hit him out of bounds. And Bell's helmet came popping right off. Short of the first down by about 5 yards. It'll be fourth down for Walsh and a decision to be made. And Justin Bell will have to come out after that play. He'll be replaced by Marquise Tyus. And it looks like Walsh is going to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. We haven't seen their kicker yet tonight, but obviously they have some confidence in their offense to try to get it here on fourth and long.
So they need to get to the 23. Kemp with his back to his right. Takes the snap. Looking downfield. Going to try one down the left side, and it's going to be intercepted by Billy Akins at the 1 yard line. Billy Akins steps in front, has his third interception of the season, and the Panthers will get a stop. There's some good news and bad news
good
out of that.
Good news and bad news.
Yeah, he made the interception, but that's one of those ones where if he knocks it down, the Panthers would have had the ball out near the 30.
Yep.
As it is, they'll have it at the 1. But either way, they keep them out of the end zone. And now How Dominican has to be careful back inside their own territory here. 8:03 to play third quarter, and Ohio Dominican leads 16-14. And we'll have it at their own 1. For Billy Akins, that is career interception number 6 in just 2 years of starting for the Panthers. Sophomore out of Pickerington Central High School. So out of the shotgun, Miller will take it. He's going to throw a deep ball down the left side for Dez Stewart, and it's incomplete. Devontae Thomas, sophomore cornerback, backup out of Cameron, South Carolina, filling in for Pierre Raymond, who was hurt last possession. He was there for the play and was able to knock it down. It'll be second down from the 1.
Yeah, trying to go for the home run ball there on first down. Got a little bit of pressure on Miller there in the end zone. Nice job getting it away, but they're in a predicament here.
And Schoen will run straight through the middle. He's got room. 5, 10, 15, 20, and finally down there. Gain of 19 for Brandon Schoen. We've talked about both Hillsdale and Grand Valley when the Panthers got sacks. Well, tackles for losses that ended up being safeties about the dangers. Miller will now throw it left for Ronald McLeod, and he's going to be hit and dropped right at the line of scrimmage. It'll be second down. But that's the same situation out of the pistol. I mean, Schoen's 8 yards deep in the end zone when he takes that handoff. But unlike we've seen Hillsdale and Grand Valley, he just took it and ran as fast as he could straight forward and was able to hit a hole and pick up 19 big yards.
Split second there, I thought he was going to take it the distance.
I did too.
Yeah, 99 yards. I thought for sure that he was going to get a block or two, but I'll take it out to the 20-yard line.
So second down and 10 now after that quick little hitter that gained nothing for Ronald McLeod. Now they'll stack two receivers left. And one over here to the near side, Schoen in the backfield, will get the carry. He's trying to search for room up the middle, squirts through and down at the 25. So a gain of about 4, maybe 5 for Brandon Schoen, and it'll bring up third down now for Ohio Dominican and 5 yards to go. Johnson, Weeks, McLeod will stack over here to the near side. Stewart wide left. Third down and 5. Miller takes it. He's looking left, and now we'll throw it, and it's going to be out of bounds. Boy, A little miscommunication there.
Yeah.
Mark Miller got a little bit of pressure and ended up just chucking it away. And at least they got out of their own territory at the one. But now we'll have to put the football away.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised they called that play. We saw that play on the last series and stacking the three receivers on the near side and going one-on-one up on the far side. And it didn't work then either. And with third and about five or six situation, I was kind of surprised to see that play call. But like you said, Todd, at least they're punting from their own 20 and not their own one.
Panthers with a little bit of a different punt formation here as Snyder will get it away. Another wobbler that White will fair catch at his own 45-yard line. Change of possession, good field position now for Walsh as the rain now starts to fall a little harder. 6:45 to play in the third quarter, and Ohio Dominican leads by a score of 16-14. Next Saturday, back on the road again, Jack Miller Stadium at Ashland. That'll be your first trip to Ashland and see their great facility, I believe, is in year three. And it'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff next week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. First and 10 Walsh from their own 45. Steve Smith sweeping to the right. He's going to be hit by Martavius Lewis and knocked out of bounds. Boy, I thought Martavius was going to be able to get there, but all he did was force him out of bounds. It'll still be a loss of two on the play, but good effort by Lewis to force the tackle for loss, a minus of two. Good for Sir. Good pressure by the left side of the Panther defensive line there. Really forced Smith backwards. Second down play now coming up for the Cavaliers. 6:25 to play. And Kemp will take the shotgun snap. Looking left. He will throw, and it's incomplete. They were looking for Smith out of the backfield. Good defense by reigning defensive player of the week, Cody Culbertson. And it'll be third down and long now, third and 12. Culbertson, such a big week last week for the Panthers. He has now played in 17 career games, including tonight. A couple of injuries the last 2 years. He's looking like he's blitzing it. He is. Third down and 12. They set up a screen, but it's busted up and incomplete. Warren Shields had that play read perfectly, fought off the block as they tried to throw it to Justin Keith. And the Panthers are going to get it right back.
Yeah, the second half starting off just like the first half did, kind of at a stalemate. They're trading punches here back and forth. And nice job by the Ohio Dominican defense once again, forcing them to punt the ball away. Maybe a little bit of better field position than last time after the Aikens interception, and see if we can march down the field and get some points on the board, stretch this lead, extend this lead.
Seventh punt of the night by Tim Carter, and he gets it away. Left puts it in the air to Justin Bell, backing up at his own 15-yard line. To the 20, out to the 25, trying to get to this near side. Got a block. Oh, he didn't. Then he fumbled it, picked it back up, and he's down at the 32-yard line. Well, the good news is Daquan Harris is back in the game. The bad news is I don't know how he didn't get that block right there.
No.
That's a great play by the defender to somehow avoid the block, hit Bell, and then he forced a fumble out of the deal. But the Panthers will still have it at the 31 on what looked like it might have been a huge return.
Yeah, well, you said, Todd, rain's coming down a little harder. Maybe he just slipped right off of him or something, but...
Well, Panthers will have it. First and 10, Mark Nichols will open up in the backfield this time with Mark Miller. Two receivers near side, one to the left here. Panthers leading 16-14, 5:56 to play in the third. It's Nichols on a delay, 35, and hit at the 36-yard line. So a gain on the play of about four now for Mark Nichols. And second down coming up for this ODU offense that they'll kind of get back into their little tempo game. They'll get right back to the line of scrimmage here. Same formation. Nate Weeks, H-back to the left, and Miller takes the snap. Play action pass. Rolling right, throws to Nate Weeks, threw it right over his head and incomplete. Well, he had him out there, but it looked like potentially it slipped out of his hands. You know, that is one area, Matt, that we haven't seen because this is the first time we've had rain in a game this year. When you run this tempo offense, they're not going to change the football out. So it's not going to be a dry football if you're just going to run right back up to the line of scrimmage. Third down and six. 5:28 to play third quarter. They stack three receivers left. They stack two to the near side. Miller empty backfield. Quarterback draw to the 35. Not even close to the first down. Got to the 37. He needed to get to the 43. They tried to spread it out. This Walsh defense, which strange actually, in a statistical way and a scoring way, was one of the top five in the conference a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't been so much this year, but they have come to play tonight. They've held the Panthers to one touchdown and three field goals, and Mike Snyder back out to punt again. This will be his fifth punt of the night. A little bit of a high snap, but Snyder handles it and will get away a nice kick that White will fair catch the 33-yard line. So a change of possession, 4:41 to play in the third, 16-14 in favor of ODU. Fans, you a member of the Black and Gold Club? This is an organization dedicated to providing financial support for intercollegiate athletics at Ohio Dominican University and helping Panther student-athletes, coaches, and athletic department staff achieve success on and off the field of play. To become a member of the Black and Gold Club, you can visit the ODU Athletics website or call 614-251-4643. First down and 10 from the 32-yard line for Walsh. Going right to left, they trail by a pair. Paul Kemp out of the shotgun will take it. Quarterback draw of his own. Straight up the field, 35. And Brad McCurdy will finally bring him down near the 40-yard line. So that'll be a gain of 8 on the first down run by Paul Kemp.
Some nice yards there on first down, putting them down there in second and short situation. We've seen them run the ball quite a bit here in the second half in the third quarter, and if they can get that many yards on first down, they're going to have a good rest of the game.
Three receivers right for Kemp. Single back in the backfield is Smith, and they'll run quarterback delay again, this time hit in the hole and kept well shy of the first down. So a good read by the Panther defense that time. And it'll be third down and 2 now for the Walsh offense. Waiting to see who gets up off the bottom of the ODU pile there. That's Warren Shields again.
Mm-hmm.
Making another defensive play. He led the Panthers with 8 first half tackles. Now it'll be third down and 2. Cavaliers getting right back to the line of scrimmage now. Two receivers to either side for Kemp. Takes it, fake pump, now will throw. Hogan's got the catch and a first down, 45 to midfield. And finally, he will be whistled down at the 48-yard line. That'll be a pickup of 12 and a first down for Walsh to Krishan Hogan.
A little post pattern, ran it up across the seam there, was wide open.
So for Walsh, a new set of downs. Trailing 16-14 here. Late stages, third quarter. And Kemp will take the snap. He'll give to Smith. Tried to turn it upfield. Paul Wesselhoff's got a hold of him and pulls him down. No gain on the play for Steve Smith. They have run the ball a lot more tonight than I think either of us anticipated.
Especially when you look at that stat that we were talking about earlier, about 94 plays per game. It's hard to do that when you run the ball.
And Ohio Dominican just giving up 137 yards a game on the ground. Second down and 9. Throw left side is incomplete. Not sure Kemp ever had that ball secured in his hand when he threw it. It was way off target for Hogan. And now it'll be third down and 9.
Well, the third down and long situation here. Ohio Dominican's been doing a good job on these so far in the third quarter, and see if they can get another stop here.
Walsh will need the Ohio Dominican 38 for a first down. Empty backfield for Kemp. Three right, two to the left. Ball on the near hash mark. Now Kemp's going to step up and change the protection. Panthers have three down linemen right now. Now they're going to bring an extra defender over here on this side. Kemp now is going to roll to his left, look downfield to run. He's going to get to the 40, but tapped out of bounds by Dominic Clegg. And good hustle by Clegg to stop him short of the first down marker. But now you've got a fourth down and 2, and you would almost assume Walsh may go for it here.
Yeah.
They certainly appear that they're going to. So another big fourth down coming up. This will be the first attempt on fourth down for Walsh. They are 7 of 12 on the season. Again, empty backfield for Kemp. They need 2 yards. Panthers a bunch at the line. Kemp's going to throw down the right side, and this is going to be incomplete. Incomplete at the 15-yard line. Looked like they were going for Brody Tan. Good coverage by Ohio Dominican, and it will turn it over on downs. It'll be ODU football at the 40-yard line.
That one made me a little nervous. Receiver got a little separation on there, and then they kind of got bunched up with a couple receivers and a couple defensive backs, and whew. I was holding my breath there for a second.
The deep receiver, like you said, looked like he had a step, but they threw to the shorter receiver.
Yeah.
And when the ball left his hand, I think we both thought it was going to the deep man. Here is Schoen on first down, and he will fight his way toward the 45, a good solid 5 yards for Brandon Schoen. So the Panthers have it with 1:50 to play in the third quarter. 16-14, the only scoring thus far in the third quarter has been from Ohio Dominican's Brent Wally, a 29-yard field goal after a 70-yard kick return to start the second half by Mark Nichols. Second down and 5 for ODU from the 45, and it's Schoen again. Gets to the outside, 45-50, broke a tackle. He's down the left sideline to the 25. He cuts back at the 15, and he's down at the 8-yard line. Jamaris Brown came all the way from the other side of the field with the angle and was able to slow him down, but a big run for Brandon Schoen.
I'll tell you, Todd, and kind of beat me to it there on, or Brandon beat me to it after the 5-yard run on first down. I was going to say, let's just keep giving him the ball. He's been really the only bright spot on offense so far tonight.
And they'll throw a little fade over here to the near side, and boy, I think some confusion between the receivers. They were looking at Stewart and McLeod, and very lucky that that didn't end up being picked off by safety C.J. Chapman.
Kind of looked like Ronald McLeod was going in motion, and then they snapped the ball, and Miller kind of floated it out there, and there was definite miscommunication on that play, and it looks like there's going to be a timeout on the field by Ohio Dominican. They're going to catch their breath and reset down here in the red zone at about the 7-yard line and try to get a good play going in the playbook, try to get a touchdown here. And up by 2, Todd, only 1:12 left here in the third quarter. But, man, it sure doesn't feel like we're ahead right now.
Well, Brandon Schoen over 100 yards now tonight after that carry. 17 carries for 117 yards. That one was for 49. And now 9 career 100-yard game for the sophomore running back who has already climbed to 4th on Ohio Dominican's all-time rushing list. Mark Nichols came into tonight needing just 2 yards to move into second place on the all-time rushing list, and he's done that tonight with 78 more yards. So the Panthers' ground attack finally starting to get going here. It'll be second down and goal now for the Panthers. And they'll work out of the Wildcat formation, and Mark Nichols. And he'll just take the direct snap, moves to his left, and he's going to get in for the touchdown. Mark Nichols, 6-yard run. Really the first time the Wildcat has been successful for the Panthers this year, and Nichols will put the Panthers ahead 22-14.
I bet you that's the exact play that you wanted them to draw up coming out of that timeout, huh, Todd?
Yeah, that was the one. Wally will come on for the extra point.
Rain's coming down a little harder now.
Could make special teams a little more tricky as we move along. Good snap, good hands by Snyder, and the kick is good. Timeout on the field with 1:07 to play here in the third quarter. Panthers a little extension now of the lead. 23-14, they've got the lead on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
As an athlete, there's nothing more exciting than throwing a touchdown pass or hitting that game-winning three-pointer. But an injury can occur in an instant. Ohio Dominican University knows you want to get back into action. That's why ODU is excited to partner with experts in Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine, who are specially trained in the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of injuries in recreational, competitive, and elite athletes. Together, we're committed to giving every athlete the opportunity to perform at the highest and healthiest level. Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
This is Charlie Dance back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. Things looking pretty good for the Lakers of Grand Valley State. 3 touchdown passes for Grand Valley State quarterback Heath Parley as the Lakers lead Michigan Tech 28-3 with about 10 seconds to go in the second quarter. Let's now head back out to Fawcett Stadium and rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
All right, thank you very much, Charlie. Heavy downpour now as Brent Wally will kick it away. Panthers lead 23-14, and Christensen will take it at his own 10. Out to the 20, spins his way down at the 25-yard line. So for the first time tonight, the Panthers with a slight bit of breathing room, but still a lot of football to be played. The scoring drive, four plays, 60 yards, all set up by the 49-yard run by Brandon Schoen. And Mark Nichols' six-yard touchdown run is spot, his first touchdown run of the season. Is that right? I'm going to have to confirm that. No, that's his second.
Yeah.
Because he had one last week against Graham Valley.
Mm-hmm.
From the 25-yard, who does these things? First down from the 25. He's fired. And they're going to keep it. And Kemp is hit, and he is down. Anthony Smith back at the 21-yard line. Boy, they had the jet sweep set up, but it looked like the timing was off on it because Kemp had to wait a long time for the jet part of that sweep to get there.
Mm-hmm. There was a little bobble there on the handoff. Just decided to keep it. And we've seen a nice job done tonight by Anthony Smith filling in for the injured DeAndre Harrison.
So it'll be second down and 13 now for Walsh. And Kemp will look to throw. Pressured right away. Throws, and it's incomplete. And another great defensive play.
Yeah.
As Steve Smith was the intended receiver, somebody hit him. I think it was Martavius Lewis just as the ball got there. And it's going to bring up third down and long now for the Cavaliers with just 28 seconds to go in the quarter.
Yeah, and again, that was Anthony Smith in there on the the pressure on the quarterback.
Ball kept now 16 out of 33 passing for 128. And third and long. He'll take a low snap. They're coming after him. Throw over here to the near side is dropped by Justin Keith. He wasn't going to get anywhere near the first down marker. And Dwayne Clemens that time came shooting through for the Panthers. Getting a little more playing time here tonight. The junior out of Indianapolis. And how about that for a quick three and out?
Yeah, that's exactly what they needed. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of this series, just a little bit of breathing room, we're up nine, but you kind of worry in that situation when it's such a tight game and you finally get a little breathing room that they might let up a little bit, and they certainly didn't on that defensive stand.
And Carter to punt, and a wobbler will put Justin Bell at his 35. He makes the catch. 40-yard line, cuts to his left to the 45. He's to midfield to the 45 of Walsh, stays in bounds, and still on his feet, still down the sideline. He's to the 30, cuts back at the 25, and they'll finally get a hold of Justin Bell and gang tackle him down at the 26-yard line. A punt that took 24 seconds and the rest of the third quarter clock. And how about Justin Bell and that effort? We've played three here tonight from Fawcett Stadium. It is Ohio Dominican 23 and Walsh 14. We're back after this timeout on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to the financial needs of the faculty, staff, and students of Ohio Dominican University, as well as teachers and school employees throughout the education community in Ohio. We offer great rates on loans and savings products, including some just for educators. Check us out on the web at educu.org to learn about the 30 Central Ohio branches and 50 free ATMs that make Education First Credit Union so convenient. Federally insured by the NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
We're back here in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio studios. Of course, a lot of people paying attention to that game in Evanston, Illinois, number 4 Ohio State, currently leading number 16 Northwestern 3-0 with just over 10 minutes to play in the first quarter. That would be a good one in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, let's send it back out to a wet Fawcett Stadium and rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
All right, last 15 minutes of action here, fourth quarter, as we get set, and the Ohio Dominican Panthers are leading by a score of 23-14, and boy, what a punt return by Justin Bell to give the Panthers great field position. Special teams playing a big role in this second half for ODU. Mark Nichols in the backfield gets the carry, and nothing there, so he'll just lower his head and pick up a yard. Nichols had the 70-yard kick return to start the second half, and that punt return by Justin Bell out there on a wet track and hanging on to the football, and perhaps he's a little more slippery now, and Walsh had a tough time bringing him down, setting the Panthers up here at the 25-yard line. Second down play, Nichols sweeping to the outside, and boy, he's going to be met and dropped right away. And another fine tackle made by Devontae Thomas. Third and long coming up now for ODU after they lose a yard on the play.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's going to be even more of a concern now than it was at the beginning of the second half, is it's really starting to pour down rain right now. And the one thing you want to make sure you do is protect the football. And I got a little nervous there on Bell's return on the punt, and I was just like, just go down. You've already gotten a lot of yards. But he was able to hold on to it and not put it on the carpet.
Miller will roll to the right, dumps it off for Ronald McLeod. He's got the catch and then tackled immediately at the 20. So he'll gain 7, and it'll be fourth down and about 3 to go. Just to throw this out here, total offense through three quarters was 396 to 227 in favor of ODU. And Brett Wally is going to come out and try a fourth field goal.
It's raining pretty hard, but there still doesn't look like much wind. A little bit more than we saw in the first half, Todd, but down here on the left side, down in the end zone where he's kicking, it doesn't look like the flags are moving too much.
So a fourth field goal attempt is coming up for Brent Wally from the right hash mark. This will be of 37 yards. The kick is on the way, and it is good. Fourth field goal of the night for Brent Wally, and the Panthers add to their lead. 13:26 to play. Timeout on the field. Fourth quarter, it's ODU 26, Walsh 14 on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
At Sunbury Road Dairy Queen, we value our customers as well as our neighbors. In addition to being proud supporters of Panther Athletics, we host car washes for youth football, initiated an attendance incentive for Mifflin Middle School, and began a summer work internship with a local community house. Stop by for a blizzard treat at Dairy Queen on Sunbury Road, just north of Ohio Dominican University. Remember, it's not fast food, it's fan food.
This is Charlie Daines back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. How about this for a turn of events? After a Braxton Miller fumble, Northwestern able to cash in with a touchdown, so it's now Wildcats 7, Ohio State 3 with 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. Let's now head back out to Fawcett Stadium, back with Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
All right, so the 38-yard field goal by Brent Wally was good. And that is his fourth field goal of the night, and that is a new school record for field goals in a game. 13:26 to play here in the fourth quarter, 26-14 in favor of Ohio Dominican. And during the timeout, you and I both thought we saw lightning, mm-hmm. and the officials confirm that we've had lightning, and both teams have been sent to their locker rooms. So we're going to keep it here for a few minutes and talk about some things, and then we'll allow Charlie to back at the studios kind of gear up and take it for a few moments and give us some scores. To my best knowledge now, this will be a no less than 30-minute delay that started at 8:33. We're in a weather delay situation now here at Fawcett Stadium. In which, again, we thought we saw lightning, and I had hoped it was just a random flash from something.
Yeah, I thought I saw some a little bit earlier, too, just about 4 or 5 minutes before they actually called it, and I didn't want to say anything and possibly jinx it, but they certainly saw that second one and are going to catch a breather here early in the fourth quarter. And you know, this is an opportunity for both teams to kind of reset. Ohio Dominican has kind of come back out and gotten their footing, so to speak, on this wet field and started to make some things work. They didn't have the big scores on defense or special teams like they've had the last couple weeks, and they were able to finally put some things together on offense and at least get Brent Wally in position to start poking some through the uprights. And, you know, that's kind of been the difference here. That's 12 points, and they find themselves right now up 26-12. So, you know, this is an opportunity for both teams to kind of head to the locker room and maybe it's like an extra long timeout and try to figure some things out down the home stretch.
All right, and again, we've got no official word, but again, if it's the 30-minute typical delay, and again, if there is additional lightning that tends to stretch things out a little bit, we're going to do our very best to stay with you on the air this entire weather delay. We've got Charlie amped up back to the studios, and we'll kind of go over things here, and then we'll let him give you a big full update on scoreboard situations, and then we'll try and line something up out here that might be remotely entertaining. Let's give you the scoring recap and how this one went tonight. It was a sluggish start. Both teams just kept exchanging punts in the first half of action. And finally, Walsh got on the scoreboard with 1:05 to play in the first quarter. And Paul Kemp, a four-yard touchdown run, capped off a 12-play, 80-yard drive in 3 minutes and 13 seconds, and it was 7-0 Walsh at the end of the first quarter. Panthers struck first in the second quarter, 9:31 to play. Ronald McLeod, a four-yard touchdown pass from Mark Miller. Brent Wally's kick was good, 10 plays, 63 yards, 3 minutes and 12 seconds, and the game tied at 7. 5 minutes into the second quarter. Walsh then came right back and added a score. Matt Matuska caught a 3-yard touchdown pass from Paul Kemp. 9 plays, 63 yards in 3 minutes and 25 seconds. And with 5:58 to play in the second quarter, Walsh then took a 14-7 lead. The rest of the half, though, was Ohio Dominican getting on the scoreboard, and it was Brent Wally. He added a 45-yard field goal with 2:51 to play in the first half to make it 14-10. And then with 40 seconds to go in the half, he added a 36-yard field goal, and that made it 14-13, and that's where we were at halftime. Mark Nichols started the second half with a 70-yard kick return, took the ball all the way to the Panther 15-yard line, but they were unable to get a first down, and Wally was called upon again to bang home a 29-yard field goal, and that gave ODU its first lead at 16-14. Panthers then got the ball back, and with 1:07 to go in the third quarter, Mark Nichols, a 6-yard touchdown run, his second of the season, 4-play, 60-yard drive in just 53 seconds, and the Panthers, with just their second touchdown of the night, went ahead 23-14, and then after a 3-and-out, Panthers get it back after a punt, great punt return by Justin Bell, but again, unable to move the chains. And Brent Wally tacked on a 38-yard field goal to make it 26-14. And that's where we are right now, 13:26 to play here in our fourth quarter. And we have hit a weather delay, and I think my partner has some sort of an update of anything.
Yeah, they're going to do, after each lightning strike, it is a half-hour delay. So they only saw the one. The officials decide to send the teams back into the locker room, and we're at probably about 26 minutes of the 30 minutes of the delay into it, or 4 minutes in, about 26, 25 minutes left in this delay. But, God, that clock starts over again if they see another lightning strike. And, you know, keep your fingers crossed that there isn't any more weather that comes along here to delay this delay even further.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to send it back to Charlie in the studios. You can keep it, partner, for about 5 or so minutes and take a break if you want, and then you can kick it back out here whenever you want. We'll have something for you. 26-14, 13:26 to play. We're in a weather day here at Fawcett Stadium. Now back to the studios.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. We'll try to keep you entertained as best we can during this delay. Again, lightning in the Canton area. Play has been halted in the fourth quarter at Fawcett Stadium. Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14 at this point in the ball game. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get you updated with a lot of finals across the GLIAC, and also get you an update on the matchup between Michigan Tech and number 25 Grand Valley State. Again, we are in a little bit of a weather delay. Lightning in the Canton area. Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14 with 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. You're listening to Ohio Dominican football here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Did you know that St. Gabriel is at your side anywhere, anytime, in Ohio and around the world? Get the Catholic perspective on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on your smartphone. It's easy with the TuneIn smartphone app. The TuneIn smartphone app is free, so download the TuneIn app today and listen to AM 820 as you cruise around town or travel the globe. St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, fills the airwaves in Central Ohio around the clock. Plus, almost anywhere in Ohio during daylight hours. Whether you're in Findlay, Fairborn, or Fostoria, Lancaster, Lima, or Logan, Sydney, or Vandalia, commuters can listen to AM 820. Tune in to the quality Catholic teaching that inspires thousands of souls throughout Ohio. That's AM 820.
evening, everyone. I'm Charlie Danis. Right now, we are in the middle of a weather delay. Lightning was sighted in the Canton area, and play has been halted in the fourth quarter. 13-26 left in the fourth quarter. The Panthers of Ohio Dominican leading the Cavaliers of Walsh 26-14 in this ball game. Now, the way it works is, if lightning is sighted in the area, both teams are pulled off the field. Also, fans are told to get away from the stands so that everybody is safe during the weather delay. And how it works is, for every sighting of lightning, it will be a 30-minute delay. So right now, we are in the middle of a 30-minute delay. And with every other sighting of lightning, another 30 minutes is tacked on to that. We will keep you updated with the weather situation as Ohio Dominican goes for its fifth win to open the 2013 campaign. In the meantime, we'll get you updated with scores across the GLIAC, and we have a lot of finals to pass along to you. The Warriors of Wayne State defeating Northwood today by a final score of 31-17. Warriors running back Tony Davis with 21 carries, 68 yards, and two touchdowns on the ground. It was also a good day for Warriors linebacker Ed Viverett, who had six tackles in this game for the Warriors to go along with one sack and one interception. In the defeat, Northwood wide receiver Carrington Thompson had a good game for the Timberwolves, 12 receptions for 121 yards and one touchdown. Hillsdale, meanwhile, picked up another win in GLIAC play. They are now 3-1 in GLIAC play as they come away with the 27-17 victory over Northern Michigan. Chargers quarterback Sam Landry had a good ball game, 19 of 23 through the air for 245 yards and two touchdowns. His big target was his main man, Andrew Mott, wide receiver for the Chargers. He had four catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. And Hillsdale linebacker Devin Moynihan also had a good day for Hillsdale. He had 17 tackles on the day for the Chargers. Meanwhile, Ashland came away with a big, big win over Lake Erie. The Eagles all over the Storm today, 62-10. And the main reason why the Eagles were able to rack up a lot of yards, particularly with the running game, and the main reason why they were able to have such success with the running game, was Eagles running back Anthony Taylor. Taylor, 29 carries for 311 yards and four touchdowns. Ashland ended up totaling 441 yards on the ground. Mercy, that is what you call getting it done with the running game. Meanwhile, a couple teams in the GLIAC still looking for their first win of the 2013 campaign, and it was Tiffin who outlasted the Pioneers of Malone today by a final score of 34-30. Tiffin quarterback Antonio Pipkin accounted for four total touchdowns, three on the ground, one through the air. He totaled 193 yards through the air and 72 yards on the ground. It was also a good game for Pioneers running back Bryce Pratt, who had 17 carries for 120 yards and one touchdown in the losing effort for Malone. Saginaw Valley State came away with a very important win. They were going up against Fair State, and at the beginning of the day, the Cardinals and the Bulldogs were tied for first place in the North Division of the GLIAC, but with the victory, the Cardinals now hold sole possession of the North Division. Cardinals quarterback Jonathan Jennings continued his great season, 19 of 26 through the air for 229 yards. He had a touchdown through the air, and he also had a touchdown rushing, and his big target today was his veteran wide receiver, Jeff Janis, who had 10 catches for 161 yards. Now, the Oilers, they went out of conference play today as they traveled to McKendree, Illinois, to take on the Bearcats. They come away with a 38-21 win over McKendree. Oilers running back Daquan Ford, 30 carries for 229 yards and three touchdowns. And the reigning GLIAC Offensive Player of the Week, Verlon Reed, he continues to have a special season at the quarterback position for the Oilers. 24 of 36, 335 yards passing and one touchdown. The only game that is in action at the moment in the GLIAC, well, that is taking place at Lovers Stadium up in Allendale, Michigan. Grand Valley State, after getting thoroughly beaten by Ohio Dominican last week, they are trying to get back on the winning side of things. And so far, things looking pretty good for the Lakers. They lead Michigan Tech 28-3 at the half. It has been a very good game for Grand Valley State quarterback Heath Parling. 15 of 20 through the air, 183 yards through the air to go along with three touchdowns and an interception. Michael Rattay also having a good day running the football for the Lakers. 12 carries for 62 yards, a long of 18, and a touchdown in that game for Grand Valley State. We'll take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get you updated with scores involving MAC teams from the state of Ohio, and we'll also go back out to Fawcett Stadium to get a quick update. Again, we are in the middle of a weather delay, lightning in the Canton area, so we're waiting things out at Fawcett Stadium at the moment. Ohio Dominican with a 26-14 advantage over the Walsh Cavaliers, 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Back for more after this here on your home for Ohio Dominican Panthers football, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Did you know that St. Gabriel is at your side anywhere, anytime, in Ohio and around the world? Get the Catholic perspective on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on the internet. It's easy to connect online to your favorite programs. Just go to stgabrielradio.com, then click on the Listen Live button on the AM 820 homepage. That's stgabrielradio.com, AM 820.
Talk shows on my morning drive make me crazy with all the scary news.
You can start your day a better way. AM 820 Radio has great morning motivators with the good news. Check out the Sunrise Morning Show with Brian Patrick, 6 a.m. Father John Ricardo at 8 in the morning, and Teresa Tomio at 9. Start your day on a note of hope.
That's start your day a better way, right?
Right, on AM 820.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Charlie Danis. We are in the middle of a weather delay. There was lightning sighted near Fawcett Stadium, and play was halted on the gridiron. Right now, we're waiting to see if the dangerous weather has cleared the Canton area. 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Things looking pretty good for Ohio Dominican as they possess a 26-14 lead over the Cavaliers of Walsh. In the meantime, we'll keep you updated with scores. Let's now take a look at Mid-American Conference teams from the state of Ohio and see how they did on this very Saturday in October. Central Michigan defeated the Redhawks of Miami, Ohio today by a final score of 21-9, and it has been a very rough season for the Redhawks. With the loss to the Chippewas, the Redhawks are now 0-5 overall on the season. Meanwhile, a pair of Ohio MAC teams facing off against one another. The Zips hosting the Bobcats of Ohio. And it was Ohio University that came away with a win over Akron. And this one wasn't even close as the Bobcats blew out the Zips 43-3. Quarterback Tyler Tettleton had himself another solid game for the Bobcats, 14 of 21 through the air for 171 yards and two touchdowns. Meanwhile, Toledo gets a big win over Western Michigan today. The Rockets all over the Broncos, 47-20. And the big reason why they were able to get that big win over Western Michigan today was running back David Flewellen. This Rocket was running up and down the field for Toledo today, 23 carries for 220 yards and four touchdowns. Bowling Green continues its impressive start to 2013. They are now 5-1 overall on the season. It continued today with another win, this time a victory over the Minutemen of UMass. 28-7, your final score in that game. Falcons quarterback Matt Johnson throwing three touchdowns in the win for Bowling Green. And finally, Kent State losers to Northern Illinois, 38-24 in that game as the Golden Flashes fall to the Lukeys. Now, in a moment, we'll get you caught up with scores across the top 25. But in the meantime, let's then send things back out to Fawcett Stadium. Let's rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale. Todd, any updates for us?
Raining. I mean, that's what we got. Back to you. No, still a little bit of rain falling. We have had a couple of more lightning strikes since the delay started at 8:33, and actually Matt Natale is out roaming around the streets of Canton right now, and Scott Miles, our SID, is throwing the headset on as well. And if it's like the normal procedure, a new lightning strike add on another 30 minutes. So if that is the case, we're looking at least 9:15 now before we can get underway. Teams were both sent to the locker rooms. They are still there. Many of the fans were instructed to leave the stands and go underneath the protective area here at Fawcett Stadium. That is one nice thing, Scott, about playing in this great facility, is there is a little bit of protection for the fans to go underneath the stands, especially on the visitor side where Ohio Dominican is. And many of them have been able to seek shelter. And right now it's 26-14 Ohio Dominican with 13:26 to go here in the fourth quarter of action. And it was a sluggish start to the ball game tonight, but they figured out a way right now to at least garner a 12-point lead with still a quarter to go.
Well, you're right, and we've talked about it frequently. It's always tough to win on the road in this conference, and was a little bit of a slow start for the Panthers, who have done so well this year in the first quarters of games. In particular, I think the margin was 31-7 or something that outscored the opponents in the first quarter. Fall behind 7-0 here today, but you're able to come back with a touchdown. Walsh with a touchdown there in the second quarter, go up 14-7. Brent Wally, two of his field goals there in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the second quarter. So you're able to kind of, get things back under control, not allow Walsh to extend that lead, make it a two-possession game. Certainly you would like to cap those drives off with some touchdowns, but Brent Wally, about as reliable a kicker as you're going to find at this level. You feel pretty confident sending him out there. We saw him actually boot one from 60 yards out in the pregame warm-ups and had plenty of leg and split the uprights on that. So, you felt pretty good, with not putting forward probably your best half of the season and still only being down by 1 point on the road going into halftime. You kind of felt all right about that. And so far in the second half, the defense has really set the tempo. Not really allowing Walsh to do much. They shut down the run. We saw that, in that last series where they went three and out. He had pressure in the backfield on all three plays. Right. Anthony Smith making a big stop, tackle for loss, a couple other nice plays, getting some pressure on the quarterback and in the backfield. So, really it's been a matter of the defense and special teams really kind of taking control here on a day where the offense isn't quite clicking as we've seen them so far in the first four games of the year.
26-14 to score here, 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Again, in a weather delay right now till at the very earliest, probably 9:15 or so. Scott, let's talk about your role at Ohio Dominican University Sports Information Director and a big day coming up on campus on October the 17th. That's going to be the first ever televised game for Ohio Dominican at home, not only televised, but nationally televised on CBS Sports Network. That'll be an 8 o'clock kickoff, and that has made your role, Athletic Director Jeff Blair, and everybody that is involved in the athletic department a little more interesting this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As you were saying, you're not sleeping at all right now, basically, is where you are.
Well, we couldn't be more excited about this opportunity, Todd. CBS Sports Network and the NCAA Division II office reached out to us late spring, about this opportunity, the potential to have this nationally televised game on our campus, and it was certainly one that, we couldn't be more excited to have. You look at from where we've come in, just over 3 years, and to have already kind of garnered that respect around the country and from Division II. Certainly a great tribute to what our coaching staffs and our student athletes have been able to do. So they got to us pretty early, about the possibility. We had some things that we had to some paperwork and whatnot to get sent over to them. And while they made their final decision process about which games they were going to select to do this year for their Thursday night Division II package, then found out in early May that that we were accepted and we're going to be able to host this game. So, we couldn't be, really more excited, about this opportunity. We're, expecting a huge crowd. We've got some extra bleachers coming in to support what we're anticipating will be a huge crowd at Panther Field for that Thursday, October 17th game. We are still have some seat backs available as well for fans that they can go on our website, ohadsmakethepanthers.com, and purchase those, you know, as well. So just, you know, kind of a lot, as mentioned, kind of logistically going into it to support the CBS Sports Network crew, the production truck that they'll be bringing. They're going to come in the day before that Wednesday morning and start getting everything set up. And they're going to have, I think, about 50 or so crew members here for the game. There's going to be 6 cameras here for the game. So, yeah, you know, it'll be a great opportunity to really, you know, kind of spotlight and showcase our campus, our university, the accomplishments, certainly, of not just our football team, but of, you know, really everybody, you know, around campus and what we've been able to achieve in such a short time in being at this level.
We're in a weather delay here at Fawcett Stadium. Todd Bell, Matt Natale, Sports Information Director Scott Miles with us here during this delay. Still 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter, and the Panthers with a 12-point lead right now. I know you're also going to take the opportunity that night to also showcase some of the other sports teams on our campus from an academic standpoint and how amazing the student-athletes at Ohio Dominican and what they have been able to do and continue to do, not only on the field and the extra work and as hard as they have had to prepare to win games on the field with all of the teams being pretty successful, but the fact that academically we've had some pretty good accomplishments and achievements over the short 3-4 years now in Division II.
Oh, absolutely, and that's where you really couldn't be more proud of what our student athletes, and it truly is student athletes that we have at Ohio Dominican, with a departmental GPA of over a 3.1 for the past year, and each year it seems like it's growing. The GPA is rising. To kind of highlight, we've gotten some great accolades for certain teams. The women's basketball team, number one GPA of any women's basketball program in the entire country, Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, JUCO. You know, you certainly, you know, couldn't be happier with that. Just recently it was announced our softball team led Division II with the highest GPA, so best GPA of any Division II school. Men's golf, both tennis teams consistently above a 3.5 GPA cumulatively as well. So a lot of great accolades, you know, from that standpoint. Some, you know, several individuals getting academic All-American honors, academic All-District. We've always consistently, since we joined the conference, had one of the highest percentages of student-athletes earning academic All-GLIAC honors as well. And, you know, Todd, our coaches do a really great job in stressing the academic portion, but you know, you can stress it all you want. It still is up to the students to really kind of grasp onto it and take ownership into it. And they do. And they absolutely do. And that's certainly a great tribute and testament to them. And, you know, like I said, we couldn't be happier for everything that they're able to accomplish both on and off the field of play.
All right, 26-14. Panthers have the lead here. Weather delay at Fawcett Stadium, 13:26 to play here in our fourth quarter of action. And here in a moment, we're going to send it back to the studios. Charlie Danis will give us some more score updates. Interesting finish here coming up. I think you may have seen another lightning strike.
I don't know. Right over your shoulder was as we were talking here.
Our officials are now. There was another one. Our officials, and it's not right here. It's just south of where we are. If you looked at the radar, there was a deep red in that little cell, and it's not right here because it's really not even raining that hard here. But it's in the area. The head referee is actually down on the field right now and gave an update to one of our fans. So who's going to run back the tunnel, and he's on his way to the Ohio Dominican locker room right now. So hopefully we'll get some sort of idea. Well, I'll tell you, he's doing a great job of updating the fans on the Ohio Dominican sideline. We just don't know it.
We don't know, and I'll tell you, the you know, the procedures that we have in place are that if there's a lightning strike, we have systems that can track how far away those lightning strikes are. As we just have another flash
that's
here.
That's a little closer.
That's
than anything
a little
else,
closer,
yeah.
And I believe the zone is I want to say 10 miles. So if it's 10 miles or out,
no, there's thunder. That's the first time we've heard thunder.
Yeah, if it's 10 miles or out, then you're safe to play. That you're supposed to monitor. And I think anything that's within 7 miles is when you clear the field. So, hard to judge, from the naked eye where exactly, these might be hitting or not, but they do have systems that track that sends the information right to your phone. Our athletic trainers have that, our athletic director has that, so we can monitor that.
He can work it?
I think so. we'll see. It's funny. He comes to me. He has the iPad. He has the iPhone. I don't have either one of those things. But he comes to me whenever it's not working and asks me to try to fix it for him. And I said, Jeff, I don't even have this, but we'll give it the old try.
You got my internet working. Yeah. Instead, I don't my computer. So magic touch.
You saw it. I just waved my hand at it. Boom. I typed in the password, waved my hand, and it came up. So.
And the rain's starting to fall a little bit harder. Some of the fans heading back underneath the cover a little bit. And again, the head referee has gone to the Ohana Medican locker room, so at least there's going to be an update there. So for now, we will go back to the studios in Charlie Danish. Charlie, why don't you try and keep it till about 9:10, partner, and head it back our direction, and hopefully we'll have some sort of an update. So again, weather delay, 13:26 to play in the fourth quarter of action here at Fawcett Stadium. It is Ohana Medican 26, Walsh 14, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. We'll get more score updates for you, especially of the FBS variety with the top 25. Plenty of good matchups and a lot of finals to get to. So let's take a quick commercial break. Again, we are in the middle of a weather delay. 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14. Back for more after this here on your home for Ohio Dominican Panthers football, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
The second annual Sacred Heart Congress on Saturday, October 12th, will be held at St. Andrew's Parish in Upper Arlington from 8 a.m. to 12:30, including Mass. The Congress is sponsored by Sacred Heart Columbus and Catholic Women and Men's Ministries.
While the primary task of Sacred Heart Columbus is to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart through the practice of enthroning the Sacred Heart in homes, schools, and businesses, we also seek to assist the faithful in deepening their knowledge of the Lord and His Sacred Heart. We have a great lineup of speakers this year. Monsignor Eugene Morris, Monsignor Frank Lane, Father Stosh Daly, and Sister Margaret Mary, Sisters of St. Francis of Perpetual Adoration.
There's no cost. We'll have a free will offering and refreshments. All are invited. For more information and to register, go to our website, sacredheartcolumbus.org.
Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm Charlie Danis. We're back here in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. If you're just joining us, we are in the middle of a weather delay. Lightning has been sighted in the Canton area, so play has been halted at Fawcett Stadium. 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14. So in the meantime, let's get you updated with scores involving FBS teams, top 25 action. And to start, we go back to Thursday night. The Bruins of UCLA, ranked number 12th in the country, they made a trek over to Utah to take on the Utes. And they were able to come out with a victory by defeating Utah 34-27. Brett Hundley, quarterback for the Bruins. He's been listed as a Heisman candidate. He had a pretty decent night for the Bruins, 17 of 27 through the air for 211 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He also ran the ball 20 times for 85 yards and a score. Meanwhile, earlier today, Florida State flexing its muscle, and man, oh man, what a game for quarterback famous Jameis Winston, the freshman signal caller for the Noles, having himself a day in Tallahassee, 23 of 32 through the air for 393 yards and five touchdowns. Florida State ends up shutting out Maryland by a final score of 63-0. Meanwhile, number 7, Louisville, just keeps on winning. They defeated Temple today by a final score of 30-7. Another Heisman Trophy candidate, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Everybody remembers that big game that he had against the Florida Gators in last year's Sugar Bowl, and he hasn't missed a beat to start 2013. In this game against the Owls, 25 of 35 through the air, 348 yards passing, and two touchdowns. Texas Tech went on the road. They went to Lawrence, Kansas to take on the Jayhawks. The Red Raiders, number 20 in the country. And this was a game in which the Jayhawks led Texas Tech 10-0 after the first quarter. But the Red Raiders were able to right the ship in a big way as they came away with a 54-16 victory over the Jayhawks. Texas Tech quarterback Baker Mayfield, 32 of 51, 368 yards. Didn't throw a touchdown, but he did have a rushing touchdown in this game. And Eric Ward, the wide receiver for the Red Raiders, he also had himself a good game for Texas Tech. 7 catches for 122 yards and a touchdown. An easy victory for Alabama today. The Crimson Tide rolling to a 45-3 win over winless Georgia State. Quarterback A.J. McCarron going for yet another national championship during his tenure in Tuscaloosa. He was 15-16 for 166 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Number 19, Michigan, with a 42-13 win over the Golden Gophers of Minnesota at the Big House. Wide receiver Devin Funchess with 7 catches for 151 yards and 1 touchdown as the Maize and Blue come away with a victory over the Golden Gophers. Oh, by the way, that's a rivalry game, the Little Brown Jug. And now Michigan gets to have that brown jug stay up in Ann Arbor for at least one more season. Number 3, Clemson went on the road today, and they made their first trek to upstate New York since the early 1950s. An easy win for the Tigers as they beat the Orange 49-14. Taj Boyd, he's looked pretty good for Clemson so far on the season. 20 of 27 through the air for 455 yards and 5 touchdowns. Number 21, Oklahoma State holds on. They are able to get the victory over Kansas State. 33-29, your final score. Another victory for the Cowboys. 14th-ranked Miami, the Hurricanes, are able to get a win over the rambling wreck from Georgia Tech. 45-30, your final in Miami. Quarterback Stephen Morris, 17 of 22 through the air for the Hurricanes, 324 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, you want to talk about a very entertaining ball game down south. Well, Neyland Stadium was your place. After a huge win over LSU last week, the Georgia Bulldogs, ranked 6th in the country, went on the road to take on the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, it looked as though that Georgia would win this game pretty handily, but Tennessee ends up outscoring Georgia 28-7 in the second half. Rajon Neal with a 7-yard touchdown with 1:54 to go in the game. But Georgia was able to tie the game at 31-all with just 5 seconds left in regulation. This game would go to overtime, and Georgia, with a goal line stand, they're able to get the victory today as they defeat the Volunteers 34-31 in overtime. An easy victory for number 23, Fresno State, 61-14 over Idaho. The Bulldogs of Fresno State ranked number 23 in the country. In terms of games still going on at the moment, well, we got ourselves a good ball game in Evanston, Illinois. This is a game in Big Ten play that has been hyped for quite some time, and so far it is living up to the billing. Ohio State has just kicked a 20-yard field goal by Drew Basil, and it is the Wildcats who lead the Buckeyes 14-13 with 8:36 to go in the second quarter. If the Wildcats could come away with a victory over Ohio State tonight, man, oh, man, that would do wonders for Pat Fitzgerald's program. Meanwhile, number 2, Oregon, cruising to yet another victory. They lead Colorado 57-16 with 8:30 to go in the fourth quarter. It is halftime in Starksville, Mississippi. And right now, the Bulldogs trail number 10 LSU 28-23. A low-scoring ball game, a little bit surprising, a little bit of a defensive slobber knocker going on in Norman, Oklahoma. The Sooners, ranked 11th in the country, they only lead TCU by 13 with 6:26 to go in the third quarter. Number 17, Baylor, didn't waste any time in their game against West Virginia. 28 first-quarter points by the Golden Bears. They lead West Virginia 35-7 with 13:15 to go in the second quarter. They have reached halftime down in Columbia, South Carolina. The Gamecocks, 13th in the country, they lead Kentucky 24-7 at the half. Just about to start. Actually, they're in the third quarter, in the swamp. Number 18, Florida, leading Arkansas 24-7. 22nd-ranked Arizona State on the road. They're in South Bend, Indiana. They lead Notre Dame 13-7 with 1:04 to go in the second quarter. Number 24, Ole Miss. They're in a little bit of trouble. They trail unranked Auburn 20-16 with 11:45 to go in the third quarter. And then coming up later on tonight, 10:30 Eastern time to be more specific, number 5, Stanford hosts 15th-ranked Washington. Again, we are in the middle of a weather delay, lightning in the Canton area, Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14 with 13:26 to go. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll get an update from Fawcett Stadium. Again, Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14, 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Lightning in the area, so play has been halted because of a weather delay. This is your home for Ohio Dominican Panthers football, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Women's Care Center helps bring hundreds of babies into the world. This new Catholic pregnancy center is endorsed by the Diocese of Columbus. Over 95% of women who receive counseling and an ultrasound choose life for their babies. Our center also offers parenting classes, goals programs, and material assistance. If you are able to help, please visit us at womenscarecenter.org. That's womenscarecenter.org.
Did you know that St. Gabriel is at your side anywhere, anytime, in Ohio and around the world? Get the Catholic perspective on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on the Internet. It's easy to connect online to your favorite programs. Just go to stgabrielradio.com, then click on the Listen Live button on the AM 820 homepage. That's stgabrielradio.com, AM 820.
Here in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. Hello and good evening, everyone. I'm Charlie Danis. Right now, we are in a weather delay. Lightning still in the Canton area. Ohio Dominican with a 26-14 advantage over the Cavaliers of Walsh. Play was halted in the fourth quarter with 13:26 remaining in regulation. Let's now head back out to Fawcett Stadium. Let's see if Todd Bell and Matt Natale have any updates for us from up there in Canton.
Well, we have one update. We found Matt Natale again, so that's a good start to our night, and now we won't be leaving one behind. But it's still 26-14 Ohio Dominican with 13:26 to play in the fourth. We are still in a weather delay. The head referee now has popped back out of the Ohio Dominican locker room. That whole time that we were in the break, it was raining as hard as it has the entire night. But now it has once again really let up. We looked at the radar. Really doesn't seem to be anything else that should influence this game. But right now it's still the determination of the officials on whether or not we will play or not. Some interesting discussion with Sports Information Director from Walsh, Jim Clark, about how long do we wait? And really, none of us really know, because at least for me, this is the first time I've been a part of anything at our college level, and so I don't know how long that they will wait. I mean, I guess it's one of those things, if it was a day game, you'd wait around all day, but we are at 9:15 at night, and, you know, so we'll just have to wait and see, but they're still mulling around the Ohio Dominican locker room right now.
Yeah, the delay started about 8:30. Mm-hmm. We had a lightning, I think the last lightning strike, probably about 5 to 7 minutes ago or so. You know, so you're looking at the earliest you'd be able to get the teams back out here in, maybe about 25 more minutes or so. They probably have given them about 10 or 15 minutes to kind of warm up, loosen up again. So, you know, you're looking at best case scenario, probably another half hour to 45 minutes before you'd be able to resume this game. So you're looking, again, best case scenario, maybe about 10 o'clock. Before you'd be able to, maybe get this thing back underway. Still with nearly the entire fourth quarter to play here. So, we'll wait and see if we get any official word sent up to the press box. So far there has been none really communicated to us, and seeing, kind of what the game plan is, kind of what they're thinking. But, you'd like to, the way the defense has been playing the second half, you wouldn't mind getting out here and hopefully finishing this one off. And but, right now it's a 12-point lead for the Panthers.
And it was a game in which they started slow. It was trailing 14-13 at half, but right now lead 26-14. Scott, let's talk about some of the fall sports and some of the teams that are going on right now at Ohio Dominican. Ran through some of it earlier. The men's soccer team last week, a real nice win at Saginaw Valley, came back with a victory yesterday against Finley, and now with a record of 5-2-1, Coach Merrick's group will be home tomorrow to these Walsh Cavaliers. This is a team that has had great success at the Division II level, nationally ranked for a time this year, and again, some momentum going right now after a couple of wins.
Oh yeah, they've, you know, really ever since we've joined the conference, the men's and women's soccer teams have, you know, really from day one, you know, consistently competed and competed at a very high level. You know, earlier this season, the men's soccer team, a couple nice wins over top 25 teams, a nice win over Tiffin at home at Panther Field, and went on the road to take down Mercyhurst, which was also ranked in the top 25. You bounce back and defeat Saginaw Valley. Last year, Saginaw was the national runner-up. And you go on the road and beat them. So certainly a very good result there. And then a clean slate Friday up at Finley, an afternoon game at Finley. A very nice start to the season for the Panthers, a very young team. A lot of freshmen are in the lineup. The team graduated 6 or 7 seniors a year ago. So certainly some pretty positive results for the men's soccer team. They were in the top 25 rankings briefly. After those two upset victories, so they've shown that they can compete with anybody now, not just in the conference, but on a national level as well this year. So certainly a good start to the season for them.
On the women's side, they had a tie last Sunday against Finley, defeated Northwood on the road 2-1 yesterday, and a big game with Saginaw Valley tomorrow. And Coach Mead's ladies are 5-3-2, and that might be a minor miracle considering all the injuries that the women's team has suffered.
Oh, it's the walking wounded, really, over there. You know, and I talk a lot with Coach Mead, and you know, and the girls have they have a great mindset. You know, hey, somebody goes down, then everybody's got to be ready to play. You know, they're not hanging their heads and moaning their bad luck. You know, they know they still have a job to do. You know, and it's really just a testament to the great recruiting that Coach Mead has been able to find. You know, someone who might have started off the year a little bit lower on your depth chart can step in and is able to, you know, replace that level of contribution, you know, right off the bat. And just like the men, it's a very young team. They brought in 10 freshmen this year, and they're also seeing a lot of significant playing time out of that group. And, yeah, go on the road in a great overtime victory yesterday at Northwood, 2-1. So looking to close out the weekend strong with another big match tomorrow.
Last year with the women's basketball team, it was, you said the walking wounded, it was injury after injury, some strange injuries, practice injuries, coaches getting injured last year. Unfortunately, they started a trend. It's followed this year to the women's soccer team and also the volleyball team. Coach Rally, bringing in some very good young talent, really trying to build things up, almost starting from scratch, but graduated some players the last couple of years. They can't stay healthy either right now.
Yeah, they've you know, been a little dinged up as well. You know, hopefully they'll be able to get a couple of girls back this week. You know, and a tough weekend. You know, this weekend you play two top 25 teams on the road in Grand Valley and Ferris State. You know, certainly tough matchups regardless of your health level. But, you know, they've done a great job. A couple of new assistant coaches this year as well who have joined Coach Riley's staff. And you're certainly excited about the future for this program. Again, right now, and certainly with the injuries contributing to that, you know, playing a ton of freshmen and sophomores. And, you know, they had a nice victory at Tiffin that Coach Riley talked about in the halftime interview, and you're going to come back. You're going to have a non-conference matchup Tuesday night at home against Cedarville. You know, old former conference rivals from back in the NAIA days, and you know, two teams that are two very good teams that will be going up against each other here at home Tuesday night. So, you know, certainly the pieces are there. You can see the talent, you know, on this volleyball team. And you know, once they kind of start getting everybody back, you know, and watching them be able to grow as well, not just through the rest of the season, but in the next season or two to come, you know, it's certainly exciting to see what they'd be able to accomplish.
You know, we talked about the results of these teams, and we've talked earlier about the golf teams, both men and women, playing in tournaments, and the tennis team, a successful win today against Malone. The one team that doesn't necessarily get ignored, but they don't necessarily have results. And that's the Ohio Dominican cross-country teams, track and field teams led by Coach Benedict. Kind of give us a little bit of an update on those two avenues of Ohio Dominican, where, again, it's, you just can't look at a scoreboard and see who won or lost sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Coach Benedict has really done a tremendous job. Certainly, even before the addition of track and field, when we did just sponsor the two cross-country teams. And, well, you know, you couldn't be more excited for what he's been able to do, you know, in a short time. Just yesterday, the teams competed at the All-Ohio Championships down at Cedarville, and both teams finished in the top 10 down there. And that's against the field that's D1, D2, D3, schooled NAI in the state of Ohio. So, you know, Coach Benedict, you know, the one thing he's not lacking for is energy and passion and enthusiasm.
Or bright clothing.
Or bright clothing and colorful shoes. So, you know, and his student athletes, you know, they really respond and feed off of that. And, you know, he's certainly done a tremendous job, as well, leading the cross country teams. He gets to make, his first, voyage up to the Upper Peninsula.
Ooh.
Michigan Tech, I believe, is hosting the GLIAC Championships.
He'll fit in great in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, he'll love it. Yeah, he'll love it.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, you know, couldn't be more excited for them. And, you know, today the men's golf team started competition at the GLIAC Championships right now. Last update we had, they were in second place near the end of the round. There might have still been one or two teams left, last update that I saw, that were still finishing their rounds. But, you know, certainly off to a great start there, looking to build off of what they did last spring when they qualified for the NCAA Championships. You know, the team competed in the Midwest Regional in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Beautiful golf course out there. Just a little bit, actually, in between Chicago and Milwaukee. And
we've been in between Chicago and Milwaukee before, haven't we?
And, oh, boy. And, sorry, been in that Chicago traffic for a long time.
Yeah, I watched a movie in Chicago once.
And then we hit the tollway.
Yeah.
But no, so they've certainly, you know, did a great job last spring. Had to replace a large senior class as well. I believe six seniors graduated off that team, last spring. And, you know, as of right now, it certainly hasn't looked like they've missed a beat. So, you know, day one of three, so still a long ways to go. But, you know, you gotta like where you're at when you're, sitting in second place out of, I think 12 or 13 GLIAC schools that sponsor, men's golf. So certainly a good start for the men up there in Michigan at Grand Valley.
All right, weather delay here at Fawcett Stadium. The good news is, with 13:26 to go in the fourth and a 26-14 Panther lead, there appears to be a little bit of milling around the Panther locker room down deep to our left. See quarterback Mark Miller, and so a couple of players have been able to peek their heads out. Looks like the rain has subsided for the most part. Looked at the radar just a moment ago, and there was a little bit of rain still to come, but it doesn't look like it's of the severity that we have had. So if we're able to get going here in the near future, it looks like we should be able to finish here tonight. 26-14, Ohio Dominican with the lead with 13:26 to play, and you have an update.
Yeah, we just got word that they're hoping that they might be able, this delay might end in about 20 minutes or so. And then the teams would have about 10 or 15 minute warm-up. And so hopefully, kind of going along with that timeline I was kind of optimistic about earlier, that maybe we'll actually be able to kind of stick to that and, you know, maybe get things back underway, hopefully maybe around 10 o'clock or so, if the weather holds.
I'm calling before that. I'm going to say 9:50.
You're going to call 9:50?
I'm calling 9:50.
Okay. Well, you know, if gambling was allowed in NCAA, we might do an over-under on that, but we won't. We'll avoid that.
All righty. So back to the studios we'll go. We'll take a timeout. Charlie will, again, get you updated on things from around the GLIAC, maybe update some standings for you, some top 25, some action going on in Chicago tonight. Ohio State and Northwestern. We'll have all those updates for you. Again, weather delay. We're going to try and get football going before the night is over. 13:26 left fourth quarter, 26-14 Ohio Dominican on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Did you know that St. Gabriel is at your side anywhere, anytime, in Ohio and around the world? Get the Catholic perspective on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on the Internet. It's easy to connect online to your favorite programs. Just go to stgabrielradio.com. Then click on the Listen Live button on the AM 820 homepage. That's stgabrielradio.com, AM 820. Did you know that St. Gabriel is at your side anywhere, anytime, in Ohio and around the world? Get the Catholic perspective on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on your smartphone. It's easy with the TuneIn smartphone app. The TuneIn smartphone app is free, so download the TuneIn app today and listen to AM 820 as you cruise around town or travel the globe.
Good evening, everyone. This is Charlie Danis back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. We are in the middle of a weather delay, but the good news is that it's looking more and more like the wet weather is starting to dry up a little bit in the Canton area. And the last time that we got an update, it looks as though they are wanting to get this game restarted around the 9:40, 9:50 type of area. We'll have to see where it goes from there. But in the meantime, play has been halted in the fourth quarter, 13-26 to go in regulation. Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14. In case you're just joining us, let's get your recap here and to tell you how this game has gone so far. Of course, last week, Ohio Dominican with that great victory over Grand Valley State. That allowed the Panthers to improve to 4-0 overall, 3-0 in the conference. First time the Panthers have defeated Grand Valley State. And, of course, this is one of their best starts in program history, the best start, in fact, since they went undefeated in 2007. And that's going back to the NAIA years. So going into this game against the Cavaliers, a team that has really struggled to begin 2013, 1-3 overall and 1-2 in conference play. This had all the makings of a letdown game, and to be real honest, to begin this game, it looked just like that for the Panthers. Walsh would open the scoring in the first quarter with a four-yard run by Cavaliers quarterback Paul Kemp. That gave the Cavaliers an early 7-0 lead. Then in the second quarter, Ohio Dominican started to get on track a little bit on offense. Mark Miller hitting Ronald McLeod from 4 yards out into the end zone. That tied the game at 7 apiece with 9:31 to go in the second quarter. But the Cavaliers would have a response as Kemp hit Matt Matuska from 3 yards out into the end zone. That allowed the Cavaliers to retake the lead. They led 14-7 with 5:58 to go in the second quarter. Then a pair of field goals by Panthers kicker Brent Wally, one from 45 yards out, another one from 36 yards out, and that came with 40 seconds to go in the second quarter. At halftime, it was the Cavaliers leading Ohio Dominican 14-13. The third quarter belonged to Ohio Dominican, but they were only able to come away with 10 points during that third quarter. Brent Wally with a 29-yard field goal with 13:33 to go in the quarter. That was followed up later on by a 6-yard touchdown run by Panthers running back Mark Nichols. That gave Ohio Dominican a 23-14 lead. In the fourth quarter, Brent Wally with another field goal, this time one from 38 yards out. That extended the Panthers' lead to 26-14 with 13:26 to go. And then lightning came. That halted play at Fawcett Stadium. And that's where we stand right now. Ohio Dominican going for its fifth straight win to begin the 2013 campaign. And if they were able to come away with this win, it would be the first win for the Panthers against a South Division foe. Remember, the first four games of the season was played against opponents from the North Division of the GLIAC. That offers an excellent segue to what I want to talk about next, and that would be the current standings in the GLIAC. So Let's take a look at those right now. In the North Division, your leader would be the Cardinals of Saginaw Valley State. We talked about how they got a big win over the Bulldogs of Ferris State earlier today. They are now 4-0 in GLIAC play. So that drops Ferris State into a tie for second. They are tied for second in the North Division with a 3-1 mark along with the Warriors of Wayne State. Followed by Hillsdale. They got a win today. They are now 2-1 in GLIAC play. So is Michigan Tech. But right now, things not looking pretty good for Michigan Tech. They are down big to Grand Valley State at the moment. The Lakers with a big response after that devastating loss to the Panthers last week at Panther Field. Right now, the Lakers lead Michigan Tech 42-3 with 4:27 to go in the third quarter. And what a difference a week makes. Heath Parling, after suffering an injury, he was back in there for the Lakers. The Grand Valley State signal caller, 18 of 23 through the air for 251 yards. Four touchdowns and one interception. It has also been a good game for Michael Rattay, the Lakers running back. 14 carries for 112 yards and a score. So it looks as though that Grand Valley State is in great position to get a win tonight. That will move them to 2-1. Meanwhile, the loss would dip Michigan Tech to 2-2 in the North Division. And then finishing up the North Division, Northwood drops to 1-2. Northern Michigan, they're in the basement. They are 1-3 in GLIAC play. Meanwhile, let's take a look at the South Division. As we talked about, Ohio Dominican with a perfect 3-0 record in GLIAC play, and they're going to look to try to make it 4-0 over the Cavaliers of Walsh once play resumes at Fawcett Stadium. Meanwhile, we talked about how Ashland got that big victory over Lake Erie. Teams in the middle of the South Division are jockeying for position. They want to be able to put themselves in good position, present themselves as a challenger to Ohio Dominican, who right now are in the driver's seat to win the South Division. Now, it's interesting because Ashland, with that big win over Lake Erie, they improved to 2-2 in GLIAC play. These two teams will be meeting one another next week. A 1 o'clock start, Ohio Dominican will be on the road. They have to travel up to Ashland, Ohio. Again, the Eagles 2-2 in conference play. And don't forget, Ashland was picked to win the South Division, according to the preseason coaches poll. To round out the South Division, Finley, they remain 1-2 because they went outside of the conference today playing McKendree of Illinois. Their record will remain at 1-2. Walsh, meantime, they came into this game against Ohio Dominican 1-2 in GLIAC play. If they lose to the Panthers tonight, they drop to 1-3. Speaking of teams that are 1-3 in GLIAC play in the South Division, Lake Erie with the loss to Ashland, they are right there. Tiffin, they were able to pick up their first win in conference play of the 2013 campaign by defeating Malone. Tiffin, 1-3 on the season. And meanwhile, 4-0 Malone, they are in the basement of the South Division. Pretty close game with Tiffin, but they weren't able to pull out the victory. They are still winless on the season, and they are still winless in conference play. They are 0-4 in GLIAC play. So that's what the divisions look like right now. If you're just joining us, we are in the middle of a weather delay. Lightning in the Canton area, but it looks like in about 10 minutes or so, we should be able to resume play at Fawcett Stadium. Again, it is Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14 with 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. We'll take a quick timeout. And when we come back, we'll give you more updates involving top 25 teams, including that game in Evanston, Illinois, and right now, fourth-ranked Ohio State in a dogfight with the Wildcats. We'll give you all the details on that game and more when we return here on your home for Ohio Dominican football, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Did you know that St. Gabriel is at your side anywhere, anytime, in Ohio and around the world? Get the Catholic perspective on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, on the Internet. It's easy to connect online to your favorite programs. Just go to stgabrielradio.com, then click on the Listen Live button on the AM 820 homepage. That's stgabrielradio.com. AM 820.
The second annual Sacred Heart Congress on Saturday, October 12th, will be held at St. Andrew's Parish in Upper Arlington from 8 a.m. to 12:30, including Mass. The Congress is sponsored by Sacred Heart Columbus and Catholic Women and Men's Ministries.
While the primary task of Sacred Heart Columbus is to promote devotion to the Sacred Heart through the practice of enthroning the Sacred Heart in homes, schools, and businesses, we also seek to assist the faithful in deepening their knowledge of the Lord and His Sacred Heart. We have a great lineup of speakers this year. Monsignor Eugene Morris, Monsignor Frank Lane, Father Stosh Daly, and Sister Margaret Mary, Sisters of St. Francis of Perpetual Adoration.
There's no cost. We'll have a free will offering and refreshments. All are invited. For more information and to register, go to our website, sacredheartcolumbus.org.
Everyone to the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. I'm Charlie Danis. If you're just joining us, we are in the middle of a weather delay. There was lightning that was sighted in the Canton area, so play had to be stopped at Fawcett Stadium. There is still 13:26 to go in the fourth quarter. Ohio Dominican leading Walsh 26-14. In the meantime, let's get you caught up with scores involving top 25 teams of the FBS variety. We talked about how it's a big game in Evanston, Illinois. Number 16 Northwestern hosting number 4 Ohio State. They are nearing halftime in Evanston, and right now it is Northwestern leading Ohio State 20-13. 21 seconds remain in the first half. Buckeyes have the ball, and they just converted a first down. They'll probably be looking for a field goal before the end of this half. It certainly lived up to the billing, as we talked about on one of our scoreboard updates. Northwestern is trying for their first win against Ohio State since 2004. But keep in mind, since 1972, that has been the only win for the Wildcats in terms of their series with the Buckeyes of Ohio State. Let's now get to other scores involving top 25 teams. A game that has just gone final. Number 2, Oregon, 57-16 winners over the Buffalo of Colorado. And it was another standout game for Ducks signal caller Marcus Mariota. The quarterback goes 16 of 27, 355 yards, 5 touchdowns. And oh, by the way, he can run the football a little as well. 7 carries for 43 yards, 2 touchdowns. We're going to have to break into the middle of our scoreboard update here. I understand that we have an update. Let's go back out to Canton. Todd, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you very much, Charlie. Great job back there delaying. Well, the teams did come back out onto the field at 9:34, as we were told, and they have been warming up for the last 5 minutes or so, and they are going to be ready to start, finally, resume play, Matt. 13:26 to go here in the fourth quarter of action, and it's going to all start with a kickoff, ironically
right.
enough. It's probably
yeah.
maybe the best thing because this is all coming after a Brent Wally field goal, his fourth of the night, to give Ohio Dominican the lead 26-14. And so ODU will be kicking off after what's going to be just over a one-hour delay in our events here tonight.
Yeah, I think that definitely is the best way to come back to this game as a kickoff. It kind of feels like you're starting all over. It's kind of an odd rhythm, gets you out of rhythm when a delay happens in the middle of a play, or, you know, you're second and 8 and your defense is out on the field and they got to go sit for 45 minutes and come back out and try to get back into game mode. So I think this kickoff is a good way to come back to it. And, you know, the only concern is from here is the Panthers are up 26-14, 13:26 left to go in this game. And just to try to stay focused during that break, I'm sure the coaches were in their ear and had them try to stay focused and not kind of fall asleep on this, so to speak. But Brett Wally's got to teed it up. We're ready to go.
Hour and 9 minutes later, kickoff is away. And it's more of a little bit of a pooch kick that'll be fielded at the 25-yard line and immediately hit and down back at the 40 on the play. Good coverage by OD. Well, you know, they better get that right. They just had an hour to talk about it, how they were going to figure it out. On the return was Franklin Hill, one of their up men.
Got them all the way back to, looks like they might spot it about the 20-yard line. No, 25-yard line.
You know, some people, they're just hard to deal with. First down and 10, ball back at the 25-yard line, and that is where Walsh will take over. Now let's see what happens. I remember a Super Bowl where the lights went out, and the other team came storming back.
That's right.
First down and 10 from the 25. Cavaliers going left to right. Quarterback Paul Kemp will work out of the shotgun. He'll have two backs in Keith and Smith. It is Keith going in motion. They'll swing it out here to the near side to him. Now they're going to throw a pass downfield to a wide-open Robinson who's got the catch at the 40, and he is going to score. They also just had an hour to work on that play, and it's 26-20 on the first play from scrimmage, a 75-yard halfback pass.
Yeah, you had an hour and 9 minutes to kind of draw that one up, and the Panthers were definitely fooled on it. They were a little confused and a little out past the halfback and wide open, and that's a way to come out of a weather delay, I should say, Todd.
No kidding. So the point after is coming up. And it is up. Might have been partially deflected. It was, and it is no good. So the Panthers block the extra point. Timeout on the field. 13:09 to play here in the fourth quarter. It's Ohana Medican 26 and Walsh 20 on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to the financial needs of the faculty, staff, and students of Ohio Dominican University, as well as teachers and school employees throughout the education community in Ohio. We offer great rates on loans and savings products, including some just for educators. Check us out on the web at educu.org to learn about the 30 Central Ohio branches and 50 free ATMs that make Education First Credit Union so convenient. Federally insured by the NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Charlie Dennis back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. Start of the fourth quarter at Lover's Stadium. Grand Valley State leading Michigan Tech 42-3, and they have just gone to halftime in Evanston, Illinois. Number 16 Northwestern leading number 4 Ohio State 20-13 at the half. Let's go back out to Fawcett Stadium and rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
All right, one play, 75-yard drive for Walsh. Justin Keith, a touchdown pass to Gerald Robinson. And the Walsh Cavaliers, just like that strike, the Panthers blocked the extra point, so it's 26-20, still with 13:09 to play in the game, and the kickoff is away. First time they've kicked it up into the air, and it'll be taken by Ronald McLeod at the 23-yard line. He's out to the 35. He's to the 40, and that is where Ohio Dominican will scrimmage for the first time since the delay. And let's see now if the Panthers, who were in some rhythm there offensively, if they are able to kind of get back and get the running game going here in this fourth quarter. Right now, ODU at 203 yards rushing, 400 yards overall. Boy, still sticking with the balanced attack, huh? Mm-hmm. So it'll be first down and 10. Mark Nichols will open up as the back here for ODU. He's got 18 carries for 83 yards tonight. Two receivers right, one left. Miller to throw on first down. He's going to throw deep downfield for Dez Stewart, and it's going to fall harmlessly incomplete at the 25-yard line. Stewart and the defensive back got tangled up. That was Devontae Thomas, who replaced Pierre Redmond early in the fourth quarter, or maybe a certain part late in the third quarter at quarterback. They got tangled up, and no way to complete that to Stewart.
Yeah, it looks like Ohio Dominican was trying to go out for their own home run ball of their own and fell incomplete.
Second down and 10, Mark Nichols. He'll go off the left side. Nice hole, and he's over the 45 to the 47. So a gain of 7 yards now for Mark Nichols. And for Mark, averaging 4.6 yards per carry, almost a yard under his per-carry average on the season. But a nice little gainer of 7 there. So it's third down and 3 now for the Panthers from the 47-yard line. Miller out of the pistol, gives to Nichols again, up into the hole, and somehow found a crease, Matt, and he's got the first down by a half a yard.
Yeah, I'm really impressed tonight with this running game and the situation we're in right now. I mean, there's a lot of football to still be played, up 6 points, but It's really the only thing that's clicking on offense right now, and as long as you're getting big yards on first and second down and putting yourself in good position to get those first downs on third, I say stick with it.
There's Nichols sweeping to the left side this time, bottled up at the line of scrimmage, and this time nowhere to go. Maybe a yard for Nichols. At times, the sledding has been tough tonight for the Panthers up front, but Nichols will gain about a yard and a half there, leading 26-20 with 3 minutes gone by here in our fourth quarter. Ronald McLeod will be right. Stewart and Johnson over here to the left. Abe Johnson has been shut out of this game here tonight. Here is Miller on second and eight. Play action pass will roll to the right. He steps up and throws, and it's caught. McLeod, first down, 35 of Walsh. He's still going to the 30 and finally driven out of bounds at the 28-yard line. And the ODU sideline excited about that run after catch by Ronald McLeod.
Yeah, that was a nice adjustment on Ronald McLeod. The defender was right on him right out of the route, and that was the first choice for Mark Miller, and McLeod was able to kind of break loose from it and get the completion.
10th catch of the night for Ronald McLeod, and now it's back to the ground game and Mark Nichols, and he's to the 20-yard line. So a solid run there. That'll be seven more for Mark Nichols on the first down play. And right back to the line they go. They'll stack the receivers two right, two left. Nichols to the left of Miller. Miller's going to keep this time, trying to go left, and he'll just dive to the 18, and he'll be right at the first down marker.
You gotta like the way the Panthers have come out here after that little gadget play that Walsh ran. It didn't really rattle them too much, and they're just sticking with their game plan. Not getting panicked too bad, and it's, you know, plays like that only up 6 points. It can rattle you a little bit, and they're staying pretty strong.
On third and a yard, they give to Nichols, and a punishing run for Mark Nichols. Down to the 13-yard line, he picks up six. And this has been a solid drive right here by Ohio Dominican to try and answer that Walsh score.
Yeah, and it's going to be important to get points on the board on this drive, whether it's a touchdown or a field goal, because now it's a one-score game. We get a field goal out of it, be up nine, put it up by two scores. So this is a critical drive right here in the red zone.
First down, and it's Mark Nichols again. Little seam over the right side, and he kind of stumbles his way down near the 11-yard line. Gain of just two on the play for Nichols, who is going to be now over 100 yards again for the Panthers, and again, ODU will have two backs go over 100 yards as Nichols will check out, and Brandon Schoen will check in here for ODU. He'll line up behind Miller as Johnson and Stewart will be over here to the near side. Over to the right is McLeod with single coverage. Second down at 8 from the 11. Miller dumps it off to Brandon Schoen. Turns upfield to the 15, cuts back to the 10, spins his way inside the 5 to the 4. Right at the first down marker. And Brandon Schoen out of the backfield now. That is what, catch 2 or 3 for him. And it's going to be very close to first down yardage.
Seems like every time he gets the ball and you think the play is dead, he kind of makes a little cut or a juke move and squirts out for another 3 or 4 yards.
So that's the third catch of the night for Brandon. Third down and less than a yard. Schoen remains in there. Jared Butler comes in at a tight end. It's Schoen. Little stutter step up into the hole. It'll all depend on the spots. My partner, who's got a very lousy angle, says first down. And some extracurriculars as the linemen unpile here a little bit. We had some chippiness early in this game. We had offsetting personal foul penalties at one point. And no flags have been thrown. They're just going to set the ball down and eyeball it up and see if it's a first down or not. All I know is that the play clock is rolling, but the game clock is not, so that's irrelevant. So they're going to, I think, bring the chains out to measure it. And they will. So the Panthers will have to back out of the way, and they'll bring the chains out. It'll either be first and goal or fourth and inches for Ohio Dominican, leading 26-20 with 9:01 to play in the game. We had a 1 hour and 9 minute rain delay. That's why we are on a little later than we anticipated tonight. They stretch him out, and he's half the football length short. What do you do here? A field goal makes it a two possession game.
Yeah.
But you really would like to stick it in there and get a touchdown, but you got to get the first down first. And they're going to go for it.
I think with the way that both Mark Nichols and Brandon Schoen, and Schoen's in there right now, have been running right now in the second half. I think it's a good decision. Get a fresh set of downs and try to get those extra points on the board with a touchdown.
So it's up to the linemen, Kelke Cunningham, Kofer Brant, and Howard up there on that offensive line right now. Nate Weeks, Jared Butler are in there as well. They're going to line up Weeks, Butler, and Schoen all in an eye. And now the two tight ends will shift to the right, and Walsh wants the timeouts. 8:57 left. We'll keep it right here, 26-20 in favor of Ohio Dominican. Well, Panther fans, one of the best ways to keep up with Ohio Dominican sports is on the Panthers' official social networks. Follow the Panthers on their official Twitter and Facebook pages. Up-to-the-minute information on how the Panthers are doing is constantly coming right to your computer or your mobile device. Go to Twitter.com or Facebook.com and type in ODU Athletics. And tonight you were getting rain delay updates. So, fourth and inches now coming up for Ohio Dominican. And we'll see how they attack it. One would expect them to go with Brandon Schoen, but you never know. Play action pass would probably be wide open for 6 points right here if you can execute it.
Get a little Nate Weeks involved in the action. A lot of times you see tight ends get involved with these types of situations with the play action. They run a little play action and dump it off to the tight end. See the Cowboys do that a lot with Jason Witten.
All right, here we go. Fourth down. And they're actually going to go back now and change things up and go Wildcat. This worked for a Mark Nichols touchdown in the third quarter. Fourth down and less than a yard. He fumbles the snap and has to fall on it, and the Panthers will turn it over on down. Snap might have been just a touch high, but it slipped right through his hand, fell to the ground. He fell on it, and ODU will give it to Walsh on the 9-yard line. Well, now it's up to the Panther defense with 8:52 to go in the game.
And the one encouraging thing here is that they've just gotten stop after stop in the second half, save for the little gadget play coming out of the weather delay, and, you know, have done a little bit better than they did in the first half. But, you know, it's disappointing when you put together a drive like that and come away with no points.
So on first down, Kemp's going to look to throw it over the middle. Hogan's got the catch. Brad McCurdy will wrap him up, but that'll be a throw and completion of 11 yards and a first down. So the Cavaliers will move the chains. First down and 10, ball out to the 22-yard line. 26-20, ODU on top. Kemp with three receivers to the left, one over here to the near side. And in the backfield, it is Justin Keith. And on first down, Kemp will roll out to his left, looking downfield. Now we'll swing it. He's got a man, and it's through his hands and incomplete near the boundary on the far sideline. Brody Tom, the intended receiver, and it'll be incomplete, bringing up second down. Cody Culbertson over there on the coverage for Ohio Dominican.
Definitely taking their shots here. They went 11 yards on first down and then taking another shot downfield. And boy, Todd, how nice would a turnover be
it
here
certainly
right
would.
Now?
Dominican has one interception on the night. That was by Billy Akins right at the goal line. Panthers are showing blitz right now. Kemp will look over to the Cavs sideline. They get a new play. Four on the play clock. He's got to hurry up and snap it. And they do get it off in time. Kemp looking to throw over the middle, and it's through one set of hands and incomplete. There it was. Right for the taking, but Warren Shields couldn't quite grab it. And it'll be third down and 10 now. And even after the deflection, Justin Bell almost had a shot at it.
He almost had two shots and an interception, but third and long, big defensive play here coming up. Need to get a stop and get that ball back with 8:26 left. Get that clock running.
Third down and 10. They come after him. They set up a screen. Good catch by Keith. Some work to do. Shields hits him at the 25. Wesselhoff trailing on the play brings him down at the 26, well shy of the first down. Pretty good play call right there for Walsh, but just well defended by the Panthers. And again, Warren Shields was able to sniff that out. He ruined a screen earlier in the game, and he ruined that one as well.
Yeah, nothing going there for Walsh, and not fooled at all on the defensive side for the Panthers. And like I said, just got to get the ball back here, maybe get some points on the board, field goal, touchdown, whatever, but keep that clock running.
This will be the ninth punt of the game by Tim Carter. Spirals it up into the air. He's averaging 44 yards a kick. That'll hit at the 30 and take a Walsh roll and be out of bounds at the 25-yard line. 7:37 to go here in quarter number four, and the Panthers will get the ball back, and they are leading by a score of 26-20, and they'll have it first down and 10.
Yeah, we saw a nice drive put together here after the rain delay with the offense, and got it all the way down in the red zone. Looked like they were threatening to score, and just kind of got to put together another drive like that and run some time off the clock. Hopefully come away with some points this time.
But that ball bounced. It hit one of the Walsh defenders up at the 32, so that's where they have spotted the ball. They swing it to Nichols out of the backfield. 30, 40, cuts back to the 45 and down to the 47. How successful has that play been? It's kind of a quick screen, if you will. The linemen are letting everybody through, but they're just swinging it to, it was shown twice, and now Nichols here, right out of the backfield.
And, yeah, we saw it was shown down on that long, what we thought was a touchdown run that ended up being a turnover.
Here's Nichols on first and 10, cuts back 50 to the 45 to the 43. This second half is starting to turn into the game at Northern Michigan a little bit, where we're just seeing a heavy load of Mark Nichols in this second half.
Makes sense, Todd. It looks like it still might be drizzling a little bit out there. Kind of hard to tell, but...
On first, or first and 10, it's Nichols again, straight up the middle over the 40 to the 38. So you again have... See, Nichols is now at 117 yards on the night, third time in the last four games that both of those backs, Schoen and Nichols, have gone over 100. It had only happened three times in the first 9 years of ODU football. It's happened three times now in the last four games. Second and six. Again, they throw it to Nichols out of the backfield. 45, 40, 35, lowers his head to the 30. That'll be a gain of 12. They may actually rule that a run because it looked like a backwards pass. Either way, it's 12 yards for the Panthers and another first down.
They read that one a little bit better. I was kind of nervous that was going to get picked off there.
First and 10 from the 30. Nichols stays out there. Football at the 30-yard line, and Mark will give to Nichols. Huge hole this time off the right side, and he's down to the 22-yard line. Jake Brandt, senior out of Bexley, he just opened up a huge hole on that right side, and after it was all said and done, now a flag has come in at the very end of the play. So this is going to be likely personal foul going one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who it ends up being on. And our referee will look towards us and signal personal foul against Walsh. Is there going to be a second one, or is that it? So that's going to be it. So that's a 15-yarder against Walsh. And that is just their third penalty of the night. ODU with only one penalty tonight.
It's been a clean game.
Yeah, for some of the extracurriculars.
Yeah.
The potential chippiness here tonight. We've only had a couple of penalties called.
And a couple times that we thought there could have been penalties that just didn't get called.
First and 10 now from the 12 for ODU. Delay handoff, Brandon Schoen. A lot of maroon shirts, but Brandon's going to get to the corner, turn up at the 10, and somehow get to the 6. How did he do that? He got 6 yards.
That's what I was just saying a minute ago. Just when you think the play is dead, he hits that old X button and jukes right, jukes left, and gets that extra burst of speed and gets yards out of nothing. It's incredible.
Boy, all the way down to the 5. So he got 7 on that play. Came up a little gimpy after the play, so Nichols will replace him in the backfield. On second down and 3 from the 5. Out of the pistol with Nichols directly behind Mark Miller. Mark takes the snap, gives to Nichols, sweeping left. He gets to the 5, hurdles his way at the goal line. He is going to be down at the 1. It'll be first and goal, Ohio Dominican, at the 1-yard line. Boy, it looked for all the world like he was going to be able to get in, but somebody got a hold of the leg. And first down, Nichols with a touchdown earlier in the game. Almost had his second. He's going to stay out there now with 5:20 to go in the game.
ODU taking their time on this play. Make sure they come away with some points this time.
It's Nichols straight through the middle. Dives to the goal line. No signal yet. They say he is down short. It'll be second down and goal. And you certainly want a touchdown here on this possession. And you don't want to take up or make it too risky here. But all you're doing now is running that clock a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And taking an extra 30 seconds or so off the clock is certainly not a bad thing right now.
You'd like to think first and about the inch line, you'd be able to punch it in and run some time off at the same time. We're just going to let the clock run here, play clock down to 21.
And Ohio Ohio Dominican with two timeouts left, and they are just going to let the clock expire. Panthers caught a little bit of a break there because one of the players for Walsh helmet came off. Took a while for them to figure it out, and they reset the 40-second play clock, so they actually got probably an extra 10 seconds out of that deal. So timeout called with 4:15 to play in the game, 26-20 in favor of Ohio Dominican. They'll have second down and goal from the one. Ashland next week, and boy, that should be a whale of a ball game. All of a sudden, the Eagles have found their offense after finally deciding on a quarterback. They scored 52 last week. They scored a bundle more today. And, boy, that's going to be one heck of a tussle. Ashland, 62 points. So they've scored 114 points in the last 2 weeks. And well, we'll be there next Saturday.
Yeah, and that would be the third team we faced this season that we lost to last year. And we're trying to right the ship. We knocked off Hillsdale and Grand Valley State. And all that's left is Ashland, so hopefully the guys come out, show up to play. Another road game, two in a row, although this one will be an afternoon tilt.
Second down and one. Boy, the last time the Panthers were at Jack Miller Stadium, what a great Saturday it was. Late in the season, beating Ashland and knocking them out of the playoffs. Second down and one. Nickel straight forward, got up into the air, and they've got touchdown signaled on the field for Mark Nickel. His second touchdown run of the game, and a big one for the Panthers as they extend the lead now to 32-20.
That wasn't the prettiest touchdown, Todd. The snap was a little off, and the handoff was a little off, and Mark Nickel jumped up in the air and kind of got stood up at the line, but was able to get that ball across the goal line and give the Panthers a little bit more breathing room with about 4 minutes and 11 seconds left in this game.
And it looks like because it's a 12-point game, the Panthers are going to go for two for the first time this year. Can we go for two at Georgetown? Just
yes.
Say yes. Okay, so this will be the second time. I have no idea if we're right. 2-point conversion. Stewart's going to go in motion. He'll run past Miller, and now we've got movement on the Panthers.
Which is probably a good thing because that snap was in the dirt.
So a false start here, and now the Panthers are going to readjust and go ahead and kick. So it'll be the extra point now being tried by Brent Wally, who has already, well, he almost had two school records tonight. He has kicked four field goals. That is the most in a game by a Panther place kicker. And he's going to try the extra point, which is essentially a 25-yard field goal from right in the middle of the field. Snyder puts it down. Line drive kick is good. Timeout on the field. 4:11 to play in the game. Ohio Dominican now leads Walsh 33-20 on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Nationwide Children's Hospital Sports Medicine provides a unique understanding of the physical demands placed on today's athletes. We're specially trained in prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of injuries in recreational, competitive, and elite athletes. We also have a comprehensive team of specialists completely dedicated to the care and management of concussions. Our goal is to give every athlete the opportunity to perform at the highest level. To include Nationwide Children's Sports Medicine on your team, call 355-6000 or visit nationwidechildrens.org/sportsmedicine.
This is Charlie Daniels back in the St. Gabriel Catholic Radio Studios. Another update from Ryan Field. They have just gotten second half play underway in Evanston. 13:36 to go in the third quarter. Northwestern still leading Ohio State 20-13. Back out to Fawcett Stadium where we rejoin Todd Bell and Matt Natale.
Charlie, thank you. A one-yard touchdown run by Mark Nichols, his second of the night. And the Panthers now lead by the score of 33-20. Another chip shot on the kickoff is fielded over on the 25-yard line. Panthers pursuit again very good. And that is where Walsh will have it, roughly the 28. Matt, nine plays on that scoring drive, 68 yards, and Mark Nichols carried it all but one time on that drive. Nichols now on the night is at 31 carries for 131 yards. The 31 carries is a career high and one short of tying Mike Knopfinger for the most in a game of 32. He did that against UIndy back in 2011 on Senior Day. a workhorse effort tonight out of Mark Nichols.
Sorry, Todd. Yeah, and then not to mention how many carries Brandon Schoen has gotten. You would think that would be a single back stat, but it's not. We've got both our guys out there running the ball. And Todd, I don't know if you saw or not, but there was a flag there at the end of the kickoff. It looked like some extracurriculars, and it's going to go against Walsh.
Yep.
And it's going to put the ball back within about 13, 14-yard line.
Behind a minute and now, 507 yards of total offense. And Paul Kemp's going to throw here on first down. He's going to roll to the right, then back to his left. He's going to get to the sidelines and out of bounds over on the far side of the field. And he's going to get a first down. But how about this? 258 yards rushing, 249 yards passing.
That's about
9 yards difference.
About as balanced as you can get.
First and 10 from the 35. They'll throw it out. It's going to be caught by Smith, and he's upended out at the 38. Let me reset the where we were on the field. The ball was at the 25, so that's actually a gain of 12 and a first down for Walsh. 3:45 to go. Cavaliers down by two scores, 33-20. They hurry it up. Kemp will throw. It's going to be caught. Willison, and then hogtied by Martavius Lewis after a gain of 2.
Martavius having a nice game.
Yeah,
he's been on a lot of plays. You haven't called his name too much this season so far, but he was quite a defensive player last season for the Panthers and has had a nice game tonight.
Second down and 8. Kemp will look to throw off to the left side. Willison's got the catch, but it's only for a gain of a yard. Cody Culbertson there for the coverage. The way Kemp's just kind of freely throwing the ball around right now, you'd like to get a tip and an interception and put this one away. 33-20 with under 3 minutes to go. Five wide receivers. Cavaliers need the 48. Kemp's going to look to throw. He's being pressured. He'll roll to his left. He's going to look to run, and Dominic Clegg will poke him out of bounds at the 46-yard line of Walsh. He'll pick up 4 and be 2 yards short of the first down marker. And they will go for it, of course, here on fourth down. So they'll go for it here. Kemp with an empty backfield. He'll take the snap, and he'll throw, and it's going to be caught. Justin Keith in a first down at the 45-yard line. So just a quick little hitter there. And Brad McCurdy makes the tackle, kept the play in front of him. First down, Walsh at the ODU 45-yard line. Kemp will take the shotgun snap, looking to his left. Again, he'll look to run upfield, 40 to the 35. And he'll just go down at the 32-yard line. That'll be 13 more. Now, the Panthers have, whatever the game plan was to contain Kemp, they haven't done a very good job of it tonight because he has been able to scamper and get free tonight. He's over 100 yards rushing.
Well, and he used to be a wide receiver, so he kind of knows how to run in the open field.
Kemp over the middle. Willison the catch. Slips past one, and the Panthers will gang tackle him at the 45-yard line. Second down. 2 yards to go. Clock under 2 minutes to go. Now they will send a man in motion past Kemp, and now we get a whistle, and we got a false start here called against the Cavaliers. So that'll at least let Walsh catch their breath for a moment. It'll go from second and 2 to second and 7.
Still got 2 timeouts left. Panthers have won.
And the clock will start. And they'll take the snap. Kemp looking to this near side, going to try one towards the end zone. Receiver fell down, and Justin Bell and Billy Akins fighting over the football couldn't make the interception. And it'll be third down and 7. I don't know that they would have been able to stay in bounds, but either way, it'll be third down now for Walsh. So the clock stop gives Walsh a chance to look over and get the play call. Kemp will have 2 left, 2 to the right. On third down and 7 from the ODU 29-yard line. Kemp takes it. Panthers are coming after him. They hit him. The throw over here to the near side is out of bounds. So incomplete. Boy, Warren Shields came through and put a lick on Kemp just as he let go of it. And now it'll be fourth down. If they brought the house last play, they're probably going to bring it again here, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make Kemp make a decision here on fourth down. They need to get to the 22 for a first down. They're coming again. Kemp scrambles, rolls to this near side, hit him from behind, and he is dropped. And it is Cody Culbertson, the reigning defensive player of the week, who will make the sack, and the Panthers are going to get the victory here tonight. .125 to play in the game, and the Panthers are going to get a hard-fought victory here tonight. There was nothing easy about this one, including holding on after a weather delay of over an hour. And Ohio Dominican is going to improve its record to 5-0. 1:25 to go. Walsh has two timeouts left, and Mark Nichols will be right back at it. And he'll carry out near the 44-yard line. Mentioned it again. That is carry number 32, so that'll tie the school record. The next one will give him a school record for carries in a game. Panthers tonight are going to close in on 100 plays. The record in a game is 104. That was against Tiffin in 2007. That was in the perfect 11-0 season. Second down play coming up, and what should be the last snap of the game. Miller gives to Nichols. He will dive forward to the 45. Doesn't appear Walsh is going to use their timeouts, and the Panthers are not going to have to snap it again. So it wasn't easy. The Ohio Dominican Panthers, after their big win on an emotional high last week, have to go on the road, and the Cavaliers of Walsh certainly came to play tonight, and they gave Ohio Dominican everything they could handle. The Panthers trailed at halftime, but they find a way to get it done here tonight, and they will be victorious as they defeat Walsh by the final score of 33-20. When we come back, we'll have the final stats for you. We'll hear from Panthers head coach Bill Connolly. All of that coming up. First, we stop by the studios in Charlie Danis.